Jewish community there is in high alert.
People are probably going to be more on edge, particularly if they were, you know, may have just kind of dismissed it as something we're doing, but it's not quite really going to, ever going to happen. So I think certainly that's on the back of people's minds.
Joining us later in the show from the Conservative Conference in Manchester, the leader, Kemi Badenoch, an idea to benefit more specialist teachers in classrooms. They can get tax-free training and cash. And farewell to the Queen of Bonk Busters.
Welcome to the Catwalks.
I didn't ask to come here. They're all horses and dogs and houses and cars and the wives. They haven't had an orgasm since Pony Club Camp.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Sakir Starmer has condemned pro-Palestinian protests planned on today's second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. The Prime Minister says it is un-British to have so little respect for the Jewish community. Demonstrations are planned in cities including London, Manchester and Edinburgh. The Shadow Housing Secretary, James Cleverly, who was Foreign Secretary at the time of the attack, has been speaking to LBC.
I just think it's absolutely shocking that at a time when we should be looking at opportunities to pull together, there are still some people who revel in those kind of atrocities. And my thoughts still go out to the people who still have loved ones who have been taken hostage, who don't know whether they're alive or dead.
Indirect talks between Israel and Hamas are expected to continue in Egypt later. The delegations meeting in Sharm el-Sheikh are considering Donald Trump's plan to secure peace in Gaza. The Metropolitan Police says it's disrupted a gang thought to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. The organisation is believed to have smuggled up to 40,000 stolen phones from the UK to China over the past 12 months. Officers began the operation after discovering a box of 1,000 iPhones in a warehouse near Heathrow. The Commissioner Sir Mark Rowley's told LBC there are crazy numbers involved.
We've got one case of a young man in his early 20s who, in 9 months, we studied the transactions on his phone, which recounted his negotiating with his handlers, and we reckon he stole phones to a value, he made a profit from his stealing to a value of over £100,000 personal profit in 9 months.
The Conservatives are to set out plans to scrap the Sentencing Council under a future Tory government. The Shadow Justice Secretary, Robert Jenrick, will say the body, which issues advice to judges in England and Wales, has created a two-tier nightmare. He'll tell delegates at the party's conference that ministers should be in charge of sentencing guidelines instead. Police are investigating a security breach at Larkhill Royal Artillery Barracks in Wiltshire. A large amount of fuel is believed to have been stolen from the army base over the weekend. The Ministry of Defence says it takes security extremely seriously. Tax-free bursaries worth up to £31,000 are to be given to people who train to teach physics, chemistry and maths. It's part of government efforts to tackle teacher shortages in key subjects. Trainees will also be able to access £15,000 to specialise in special educational needs and disabilities. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen this morning at 94.79. It closed down 12 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 15. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many areas. Some rain in northern areas, a high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £14 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Thank you, far away person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning to you. 3 minutes after seven on Tuesday, October the 7th, coming up in this hour. Under the spotlight, the nation's judicial system as the Epping Hotel protesters get longer in jail than the migrant who committed the sexual offences and sparked the entire disorder. Is that the right way round? Meanwhile, in a related conversation, you're going to hear from Robert Jenrick, the Conservative Shadow Justice Secretary. He's going to be talking about the dozens of judges, he would like to sack. He'll be saying that at the conference, but he's a little bit dogged by a leaked recording. Here is he talking about his views on Handsworth, an area in Birmingham.
was one of the worst integrated places that I've ever been to. In the hour and a half that I was filming with news there, I didn't see another white face. And that's not the kind of country I want to live in.
Is it the kind of country you do live in, or the kind of country you want to live in? And is he right, or is he racist? We'll look at that in more detail. Plus,
police disrupt an international gang thought to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London and shipping the devices off to China. I'm LBC's Fraser Knight with the story.
2 years after the horrific terror attacks in Israel, are we possibly moving closer to peace? Negotiations are going on, and is this the man who might secure it?
In a period of just 7 months, I have ended seven unendable wars. They said they were unendable. No president or prime minister, and for that matter, no other country has ever done anything close to that.
Yes, Mr. President, one of those conflicts literally did not actually take place. But can there be hope for a peace there? And we'll say farewell to the so-called Queen of the Bonkbuster. Gilly Cooper dies, aged 88. A full appreciation later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Question, if you were in charge, if you were a magistrate, if you were a judge, which would you find potentially more offensive? Someone who committed sexual crimes and indeed sparked a wave of protests, or someone who said unjustifiable and vile comments and protested in a certain fashion? Who should spend more time in jail? Well, sentencing has now taken place of protesters involved in the Bell Hotel in Epping. LBC's reporter Shivani Sharma joins me now. Morning, Shivani.
Good morning, Nick. The judge told Martin Pegram, Dean Smith and Stuart Williams that he was satisfied their actions were racially motivated and that what they did went beyond protest and became criminal, as they became the first anti-migrant protesters to be jailed for violent disorder, for climbing onto the Bell Hotel, housing asylum seekers, for climbing onto the roof of a nearby school, for throwing cans and pushing and shoving officers in Epping on July the 17th. Now, Williams was jailed yesterday for 2 years and 4 months, Pegram for 2 years and 2 months, and Smith for 1 year and 10 months, after the prosecution said the police were subjected to sustained attacks for over 4 hours, getting pushed, punched and kicked. A reminder of what triggered all these protests. A migrant who was living at the Bell Hotel in Epping, Hadish Kabatu, was sentenced last month, notably to just 1 year in prison, for sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl and a woman, with his arrest captured on police body-worn footage.
It's now 17:50 and I'm arresting you on suspicion of sexual assault on a female under 16 years old. So you didn't have to say anything. The main harm your defence is you did not mention when questioned, something which you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given evidence, okay? We're arresting you for a prompt and effective investigation by being intervened to you and prevent harm to yourself or others. So give us 2 minutes, we'll just bottom a few things out and then we'll,
You are coming to my home.
What? So the allegation is that you've touched a child on the inside of the groin. Come over here, I need to search you. Cry. It's going to be okay.
Now, Chief Superintendent Simon Anslow at Essex Police has said there can never be an excuse for the actions of these three men, who he says were intent on escalating a peaceful protest into dangerous violence. And this sentiment has been echoed by the Prime Minister himself last week at the Labour Party conference, trying to show clear blue water between him and the likes of Nigel Farage and Reform UK.
Controlling migration is a reasonable goal. But if you throw bricks and smash up private property, that's not legitimate. That is thuggery. Free speech is a British value and we have guarded it for centuries. But if you incite racist violence and hatred, that is not expressing concern. It's criminal.
Now, there are other anti-migrant protesters yet to face their day in court, with tensions still rife in Epping and the long-term future of the Bell Hotel and what to do with the asylum seekers there still very much unknown.
Shivani Sharma reporting. Let's turn to Simon Spence, who is a KC criminal barrister at Red Lion Chambers, specialising in serious crime. So let's just walk through the numbers here, if we may, Mr. Spence. These protesters get 2 years, 4 months, 2 years, 2 months, 1 year, 10 months, and a person convicted of sexual assault on a teenage girl and another woman who came to that young woman's aid gets 12 months. How does that work out? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think it's important to emphasise, first of all, that, of course, the three protesters who were sentenced for violent disorder were dealt with in the Crown Court, where the powers of sentencing are greater than in the Magistrates' Court, which is where Mr. Kabasi was tried and convicted. The district judge who heard his case only had available to him, because it's in the Magistrates' Court, a maximum sentence of 12 months, which is what Mr. Kabasi was sentenced to. Clearly, when the case first went to court, there would have been a decision made as to whether the allegation of sexual assault was serious enough that it should be sent to the Crown Court, or whether, because of the relatively minor nature of it, it could remain in the Magistrates' Court. Once that decision had been made, that it had to stay in the Magistrates' Court, then 12 months would have been the maximum sentence available at any event.
Is it fair to question the fact that Kabatu's case was not elevated?
Well, the court has to look at a number of matters. They have to look at the seriousness of the offence. They have to do so, and this may sound odd, in isolation of any other circumstances that apply. So whether someone's got previous convictions, matters of that sort. They're just looking at the offending behaviour. And in this case, because it was the touching of a thigh over clothing, it wasn't a surprise, to be honest, that the magistrate decided he could keep the case in the Magistrates' Court. But as I say, once that decision has been made, in the absence of any other aggravating circumstances unknown to the court at the time, then the maximum sentence is 12 months.
Simon, thanks as ever. Simon Spence, KC, criminal barrister at Red Lion Chambers, 11 after 7. Listening to that is someone we're going to say, Deborah, who is a resident close to Epping and a member of Epping for Everyone. Deborah, can you, in a sentence, explain what Epping for Everyone is trying to achieve? Good morning.
Hi, morning, Nick. Thanks for having me on. So Epping for Everyone is a group of local residents who actually live in Epping, unlike many of the protesters, who live here and are trying to bring the town back together for the sake of our children and to create a peaceful, harmonious town, like it used to be before this all kicked off.
Indeed. There have been suggestions that we have a two-tier judicial system, and I understand that the case of the sexual offender was dealt with in a magistrate's court, but he gets 12 months. Protesters, and I'm not supporting any of them, I'm not supporting them for a moment, most of them get double that sentence. Your reaction to that, Deborah?
So I'm learning about it at the same time as you. Very interesting listening to the KC. I mean, I'm not quite sure why his case wasn't tried under the Crown Court instead of the Magistrates Court. To be honest with you, Nick, I'm just glad they've all been locked up, because these protesters have been causing our lives hell, and I think their reaction is completely disproportionate to the event that happened. There are 157 violent and sexual assaults within Epping Forest District in August alone. 157, and there's not a single protest or Facebook post about any of those. This was one terrible incident that happened, but since then the reaction has been completely overblown, and it's turned into the Salem witch trials in Epping. It's awful, but instead of pitchforks, they're wearing pink T-shirts.
What is the mood in the town now?
I think, you know, this is a town of 12,000 people, and I think the vast majority of them, as I said to you, most of the protesters don't even come from here, and you'll see that when these arrests get convicted, you'll see most of them aren't even from here. I think the vast majority of the 12,000 people that live in Epping actually want an end to it. You know, even if perhaps they were sort of warm towards the movement at the beginning, they want us to return to normal. The impact on business, the impact on little kids is far too great. And we're sick to death of it. And we want these people to leave and let us get back to normal.
What is happening at the Bell Hotel now?
I mean, there's still a weekly protest. They've dwindled right down, which proves my original point that they, you know, a lot of these people were protesting just for fun, for, you know, to come with beer cans and treat it like a festival. The idea that any of this is about sexual assault is laughable to me. But anyway, it's still very disruptive on the nights that they're here. You know, we have drones overhead. We have people walking across outside our house in balaclavas, littering, graffiti, racist chanting. It's truly horrendous. And you should hear the abuse that is targeted towards the female female police officers. The idea that this is about people that care about women and children's sexual safety, this is an absolute lie. These people are doing it because they're football hooligans, and we want them gone from our town.
Lastly, just for clarifying, did you say this is a weekly or nightly basis?
It's now weekly, but they do have these random ones that pop up, which are unpoliced at the beginning, and then the police have to quickly scramble. They bring flares and fireworks and throw them around. Having children around it is truly terrifying.
How long have you lived in the area?
I've lived here for 5 years, never had any issues with the bell whatsoever.
This isn't the town you moved into, is it?
It's a beautiful, wonderful town. We're right on the edge of the forest, right on the edge of London. It's wonderful. You should see what these protesters have been doing. And you know, they're earning money from their social media content. That's why these protests keep continuing. No one cares about sexual assaults on girls. Let's stop pretending this is what this is about. They are taking over our town, Nick, and we are desperate to get it back. The police have said that the bell doesn't pose any risk. And for what I understand, the people at the bell are being moved on quite quickly. They're having their claims either, you know, approved or denied. So let's stop having these parties every week in pink t-shirts. It's embarrassing. And you're actually terrifying the children that live in this town.
I've enjoyed our conversation. Good luck with Epping for everyone. Deborah, thank you for your input. So there's that aspect. And then there's the judicial aspect we explored with the KC. The fact that the person who committed the sexual crime, by the way, sexual assault of a teenage girl, attempted sexual assault of a woman who came to the teenage girl's aid, gets 12 months because it was not elevated. I understand it. But does that speak to you of two-tier justice? Also, after the news, farewell to Dame Jilly Cooper. Here she is revisiting a quote from her book, How to Stay Married.
Don't worry too much about housework. If you amuse a man in bed, he won't worry about the mountain of dust underneath. I wrote that. I mean, it's probably quite true, isn't it?
Shame the missus doesn't wake up for another half an hour. 7:15, LBC News headlines then, Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister has urged students to cancel planned pro-Palestinian protests on the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. The Metropolitan Police says it's disrupted a gang suspected of smuggling tens of thousands of iPhones to China, and the Conservatives are to set out plans to scrap the sentencing council under a future Tory government. LBC weather, quite cloudy but dry for most places. Some rain in the north, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Southeastern trains can't run between Ramsgate and Canterbury West, and Southwestern Railway services are delayed between Clapham Junction and Shepperton. On the roads, there's only one lane open on the M11 southbound between junctions 5 at Loughton and 4 at the North Circular Road. There's a load of debris across the road, and it's very busy back to the M25 junction. Then on the M25, there are anti-clockwise queues from junction 27 at the M11 to 25 at the A10, and that's where a van broke down earlier. Queues on the North Circular Road eastbound from the A10 at Edmonton to Onos Grove. That's because of an accident and only one lane is open. And delays on the A2 westbound to the Danson Interchange after an accident.
This is LBC.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay, but I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
Julie could part exchange her car. Or check out We Buy Any Car. She could be unsure if she got a good deal part exchanging. Or have cash in the bank with more bargaining power to get a bigger car for her five-a-side team. Totally played. Or total player. To get a quote in 30 seconds, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
Train to Pevensey Bay. Beach, mates, cooler. Oh,
Danny, you got the hummus, yeah?
Of course.
Now this is what it's all about. Time to relax.
Huh? Frisbee? No, you two crack on.
Just made the train. Now home to over half the beach from my bag. 10 out of 10 day, though.
Download the Southern Railway app to book tickets and save a third off group travel and off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story. Terms apply. See our website for full details.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 0800-999-1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
19 minutes after 7. Shane, you'll be the first caller concerning our conversation about two-tier justice. Quick look at the front pages. And, well, there's one story. It doesn't dominate all the front pages, but her photograph is on, I think, every single front page bar the... Is she on the Financial Times? No, she doesn't get the Financial Times. The French Prime Minister does. That's Dame Jilly Cooper, who sadly has died aged 88. And we're going to be speaking with my colleague Rachel Johnson about that in a few moments' time. The Sun actually splashes with it or leads the paper with it. Romp in peace, Jilly, as in RIP, an extraordinary career. Her picture is also on the front page of the Daily Mail. Biggest phone gang smashed, and we have an LBC report coming up on that from my colleague Fraser Knight. Stay tuned for that. The other bubbling story is, of course, 2 years on from the tragic events that played out in Israel and aspects here in the UK. PM's anger at student protests is the front page of the Times. The Eye saying UK Gaza protests going ahead today on anniversary of October 7th massacre. More on that to come. And also looking at, is it possible... is it possible that Donald Trump is inching towards some kind of peace deal? Full coverage of that. The LBC app, by the way, has more details. Starmer brands protests as un-British. Let's give you one other story just at random from a website. Here we go. This is on the Sky News website. France facing fresh round of political drama. This is, I think Emmanuel Macron has to limp on till 2027. Someone just put him out of his misery. They've got through three prime ministers. I mean, I thought we traded them pretty quickly. Three in 15 months is almost a world record, isn't it? We'll have more on that later. Right, let's get Shane in Edinburgh into the conversation. Two-tier justice, yes or no, would you say? Good morning.
No, and there's... the barrister that you had on from Redline Chambers earlier, he failed to mention one thing. The bench accepted that, or the district judge magistrate's court accepted that case for summary trial.
This is the original sex offender, just to remind everybody what it is. Yeah, go ahead.
Accepted that case for summary trial and imposed a sentence of a year, which was the maximum that he could impose. However, if after hearing about that offence and convicting the person, he felt he had insufficient powers of punishment, he could have remitted that case to the Crown Court for sentence. He chose not to do so, and presumably...
What does that tell you?
Well, it doesn't tell me... this happens all the time, I'm afraid, in magistrates' courts where the bench accepts jurisdiction and limits its sentencing to the maximum of its power. It's just one of those things. However, in the case of the racially aggravated assault, that went to the Crown Court for trial, and the judge at the Crown Court applied the sentencing guide. I don't think it's two-tier justice. It's just one of these inevitabilities that occurs. People may not like it, but
I don't like it. Do you like it?
Well, I wouldn't say I like it. I don't like any of it. I think it's all blooming vile, the protesters and the original offence that was committed. But I don't think it's exactly two-tier justice. It's just the way our system works. But that, if the magistrate felt that that man's behaviour was so egregious and so outstandingly bad that he had insufficient powers to punish him, he could have remitted it to the Crown Court. He clearly didn't think so.
But did he get that right? The magistrates' court, did they get that right last week? I think they didn't. I think that man should have had
you
longer...
You think he should have got more, yeah.
For attempted a sexual assault of a teenager?
I agree it's vile, and I personally think it. I would have liked to have seen him get more.
Sorry, a 14-year-old, I mean, it's not as if she was 19. It's inexcusable on every level.
It doesn't matter what the age is, it's vile. And I don't support wicked crimes or horrible abuses of people. Yes, perhaps it should have been remitted to the Crown Court for sentence.
Grateful for your input, Shane. Have yourself a good day. This is what you're saying on emails and on social media. Roger in Brentwood, which is not a million miles from Epping, by the way. The obvious imbalance of these sentences displays the government's agitation at their authority being perceived to be challenged and an actual crime against a child. Well said, Roger. Of course, remember, she's 14. That in the eyes of this government holds no consequence. Both crimes have received disproportionate sentencing. Lee says 2 years for a protester, 1 year for a sex offender, and people can't figure out why we don't trust this system anymore. I'm afraid now it's reform for me all the way. Paul in Liverpool, how long before sexual assault is treated by the police as they now treat mobile phone and car theft? Well, of course, there's been a big crackdown on these phones, the biggest gang ever. We'll have more on that later in the show. 7:24, let's move on to other matters. And sadly, we have to say well to an extraordinary talent who, for a couple of the newspapers, will forever be known as the Queen of the Bonk Buster.
Welcome to the Cotswolds.
I didn't ask to come here. There are all horses and dogs and houses and cars and the wives. They haven't had an orgasm since Pony Club Camp.
Dame Gilly's novel Rival saw a resurgence in popularity last year. It was adapted into that Disney Plus series starring David Tennant, Danny Dyer and Emily Attack. She's also known for her cheeky sense of humour. Here she is speaking back in the 80s about a quote from a book she wrote back in the 60s, How to Stay Married.
Don't worry too much about housework. If you amuse a man in bed, he won't worry about the mountain of dust underneath. I wrote that. I mean, it's probably quite true, isn't it?
The novelist used to write all of her books on her beloved typewriter, Monica, something she told my LBC colleague Rachel Johnson, from whom you heard a moment, told her about last year when she was interviewed on the Global Original podcast, Difficult Women.
The only thing difficult is that I do 15 drafts of everything, so the house... I won't tell you my study next door, but I mean, I disappear under a mass of papers. And
will we be allowed to see Monica?
See, Monica, yes, darling Monica. Monica's getting old like me, but she's so cheap. Her typing is very pale grey now rather than black.
Monica is your... What brand of typewriter is it?
I don't know what she is. I've typed everything since Riders. Everything.
And would you ever write a book on anything other than Monica?
Well, I've tried to, because she gave up the ghost recently, but she's come back again now. I've got one called Erica.
LBC's Rachel Johnson, my fellow presenter, she's of course 7 through 10 evenings on Fridays, joins me now. I'm looking at a Tatler article. You describe yourself as a super fan, Rachel. Why? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Condolences to Emily and Felix, we should start with, who are Gilly's children that she had with her late husband Leo, who I know are absolutely devastated and have said that the light of their lives has gone out. And of course, a light in all our lives, who loved Gilly so much and loved all her writing, has gone out since we heard the news yesterday. I think it is that Gilly's books have been part of my life all my life, as Gilly has been. She was a friend of my parents. She bought a picture of my mother's back in 1974. She's a friend, you know, she was a fixture on the London social scene, even though she lived in Gloucestershire. For Gilly, you know, she was the daughter of a brigadier, and if she made a plan, she stuck to it. And so her series of romances called Emily, Bella, Harriet, Octavia, and so on, all came out in the 70s. And I remember then the Rupture Chronicles, you know, Riders, yes, Rivals, yeah, all those ones came out. And I remember being a student at Oxford, and I was supposed to be studying ancient history and archaeology, Roman history and archaeology, and we were in a house quite near Rome. And every morning my father would say to me, "We are going to Rome to see the Colosseum and the Forum." And I'd say, "No, I just want to stay by the pool reading Gilly Cooper." I mean, she had that effect on me. She had that effect on everybody. There was nothing you would rather do than read a Gilly Cooper book, given almost any alternative. She had this... She's Woodhouseian, really, and not given enough recognition by the snooty, literary establishment.
The literati, as it were.
Yeah. I mean, I think, was it the Queen... Somebody yesterday eulogised her as kind of like Jane Austen. I mean,
Queen Camilla, I think, yes.
She gave her a most wonderful tribute, and all I can say is I'm happy that she's now reunited with Bluebell, her greyhound, with Leo, her husband, with all the other dogs and animals she loved so much. I mean, that's really the consolation we have, and also the enormous legacy of print that those who haven't yet discovered Gilly Cooper can discover now for themselves, including you, Nick, I expect.
I'm not a huge fan, I have to confess, but I realise what... Did she comprehend what a phenomenon she was, Rachel?
I think she did, because the other thing, I think it's important to say that there are so many women writing today who wouldn't write a word unless they'd read Gilly Cooper. I mean, we can list them off, from Helen Fielding, Catelyn Moran, India Knight. You know, some of these women writers the audience may have heard of, others they wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't have written a novel hadn't I not tried to write a sort of faded pastiche of one of Gilly's myself.
It is so hard. She is so clever. She researches the industry she writes about, and she takes the readers through all these different worlds, you know, whether it's television franchises, horse racing, schools. She did something about state schools, football. She entered a world and she made it real. She made it funny. She made it, you know, absolutely absorbing. And she will be so missed, Nick. I cannot tell you.
As the obituary in the Daily Telegraph says today, she wrote of sweaty horse flesh, adulterous bonking, and beautiful people with posh voices. Put me down for all of the above. What would be someone who wants to enter the literary world of Dame Gilly Cooper, with which book should they start, Rachel?
I think Riders, probably. Riders. Because that's the one in which Rupert Campbell Black and Taggy, his kind of slightly, woebegone wife, appear eventually. I don't want to spoil the story. But and then Rivals, and then watch the TV. I mean, hours and hours of happiness await, really.
I can hear it in your voice. Rachel, look after yourself. Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Johnson, my LBC colleague. You find her Friday nights here from 7 through till 10. David, you want to talk about the two-tier justice? I hope put a question mark there. Two-tier justice, and you will after the news. Also coming up later in the show.
On the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks, have the US got us to a position where we're closer to peace? I'm LBC's Henry Riley, looking at the impact of President Donald Trump.
It's 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, on LBC News Time. Thomas Watts.
Sir Keir Starmer has urged students not to take part in protests on the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. He's described planned pro-Palestinian demonstrations in cities including London, Bristol and Edinburgh as un-British. Police say they've disrupted a gang thought to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. The two-week operation led to 46 arrests, including two men suspected of shipping thousands of iPhones to China. Robert Jenrick will promise to tackle so-called two-tier justice in his speech to the Conservative Party conference later. He'll promise to abolish the sentencing council and put ministers in charge of guidelines for judges in England and Wales. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many places. Areas in the north will see some patchy rain, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC.
I'm Taz. I've been part of the dental hygiene therapy team here at Darwood and Tanner for nearly 20 years. At Darwood & Tanner, we know the importance of ongoing maintenance and long-term care. This is a crucial part of our dental implant treatments, so you can be sure we're here to keep you smiling for many years to come.
A team of dental experts second to none, armed with the very latest in dental implant knowledge, technology and techniques. Visit darwoodandtanner.co.uk.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. There's over £2 million worth of cash prizes to be won. And a chance to get your hands on some epic prizes. Go on, it's your go. 18 plus, UK, ends 21st of October. Selected menu items. App may be required. May depend on winning moment. See mcdrules.co.uk.
Train to Bedford with the crew for a music festival. Scenes.
Georgie, is this too much glitter?
Yep, lost them. But I'd offer to get drinks on my own.
It's okay, find the flag with the DJ and cat. Oh, there they are. Back on the train, glitter gone, feet destroyed. Totally worth it. Oh, I can't wait to post this selfie of us.
Download the Thames Link Railway app to book tickets and save one third off group travel on off-peak journeys. Thames Link Railway, where every stop is a story. Terms apply, see our website for full details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 606 973.
7:32, coming back to our conversation about is there two-tier justice. David, you'll be the next caller on that, and then coming to, of course, one of the main stories of the day, the proposed or planned protests, October the 7th, two-year anniversary, of course, those horrific events in Israel, and horrific events subsequent as well, whether they should be stopped. We'll look at that. But into the world of business now, joined by Christine May, who's editor-in-chief at City AM. Let's cross the channel, let's talk about the French connection, or should that be FC UK at the moment over there? Christine, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, there's another wave of political chaos in France. Emmanuel Macron appealed to his country yesterday and said, "Don't let France become like Britain." That was the sort of rallying cry. I can understand his position. He's now just lost his seventh prime minister, his third, I believe, in a year since the parliamentary elections, which he called in a bid to restore stability to the republic. It does appear as if France is effectively an ungovernable country, but I've often thought that France is a country that on paper shouldn't work, but does, and continues to work pretty well. That said, they are suffering economically, huge debt, wide deficit, low growth, all sorts of things that are plaguing us, actually. So I think there's probably more in common than President Macron would like to admit between our two countries at the moment, although I would say our politics appears to be, at the moment at least, a little more stable. There is an economic, financial and market consequence to this political chaos in France, of course. Their borrowing costs have climbed above those of Italy and Greece and Portugal. The spread, the difference between French bond yields and German bond yields have reached now the widest level so far this year, and that's taken by the markets as a measure of stability or instability in France. And the French stock market is down. Investors seem to be retreating from French assets across the board as they wait and see what President Macron's response will be. Will he call further parliamentary elections? Will he try to pass a temporary budget? Because that has to happen pretty soon. And it's the failure to pass a budget which has led to the resignation of so many prime ministers. So we will be watching news across the channel, that's for sure.
All right, let's continue our conversation concerning Britain and which car manufacturer has its in its sights as its biggest overseas market.
BYD. 2 years ago, there wasn't a single BYD motor on a UK road. And now the UK accounts for the biggest market for these Chinese electric vehicles outside of China, although it's actually the hybrid petrol electric vehicles which have surged in the UK. 35,500 vehicles have been delivered to the UK since, the beginning of this year, or certainly the first 9 months of this year. That's therefore more vehicles sold than Mini. They're overtaking the likes of Citroën, Honda, Mazda. They're not yet cracking into the top 10, but analysts say, looking at these figures, it's only a matter of time before they do. One of the reasons for this is that unlike Europe and unlike America, we have not imposed any tariffs on Chinese electric vehicles. So it's not just BYD. There are plenty. An interesting aside is that the British government has taken on an awful lot of Chinese electric vehicles. At the same time, they're rather concerned about the security implications. So I think they've banned Chinese-made electric vehicles or electric vehicles with Chinese components from approaching anywhere near military sites or sensitive sites. So I think I'm right in saying that the MOD brought a fleet of Chinese electric vehicles before then telling top brass are not allowed to have conversations in them. So they need to sort of figure out their approach to that. But for the rest of us, as long as we're not driving to work at GCHQ, they appear to be a pretty popular and affordable new car.
Making headline news, a threat from AstraZeneca. We probably need to explain to listeners who are not as au fait as the city as obviously you and your colleagues are, why is AstraZeneca so important, seen so crucially?
AstraZeneca is, I think, now the second most valuable publicly traded company in the UK. So it makes up a huge part of pension funds and personal investment portfolios, of course. But it also powers this sort of life sciences part of the British economy, which has for a long time been held up as a great sort of jewel in the crown of the British economy. But that's beginning to lose its shine a bit, because we know that a number of major pharmaceutical firms have basically scrapped their investment in the UK. AstraZeneca, which has pulled the plug on a number of hundreds of millions of pounds worth of investment and development in the UK, has now said that basically the UK is failing to be an attractive place for this sector and for this company to invest. And they much rather like the look of the regulatory and financial environment in the US. This comes down to the amount that the UK government, via the NHS, is prepared to spend on drugs from these major manufacturers. And speaking at an event at the Conservative Party conference yesterday to discuss all this was AstraZeneca's UK chairman, who said that the UK has just failed to keep pace on medicine investment over the years. And this comes down to that debate about how much the NHS is prepared to pay. And another panellist, a former Tory minister who did a review into the pricing of drugs in the UK, pointed out that there's just a room in the Department for Health with a bunch of civil servants whose job it is to beat up the pharmaceutical companies and get the prices down. Fair enough, you might say, but they do not take into account the more holistic, the longer-term implications about investment and growth in the sector as a whole. That negotiation is ongoing. It's being led for the government by Patrick Vallance, Lord Vallance. And the health secretary, who previously walked away from talks with drug makers, it is understood that he is prepared to rejoin those conversations, as well he might, given the way in which this sector appears to be fleeing British shores.
Finally, before you go, a quick word about Ringo. Not Star, of course.
No, I don't know about you, how many different apps you've got on your phone to try and park.
My driver
days.
Does all of that for me, Christian. I'm sure yours does too.
Forgive me. That's why.
Forgive me.
I do hear my driver complaining about all these different apps. But look, Ringo is one of the most popular ones. They're Swiss owned. They have revenues of about 40 million quid last year, up 30% on the year. They take about a 20 pence cut from the different fees that ultimately go to councils when customers use the app. And there are many other apps. And the government, just like the last government, has said, well, we're going to try and overhaul this. We're going to put in place a new system whereby you can effectively use any app anywhere, and it will save people scrabbling around and having to download different systems. That has not come into effect yet. The Conservatives didn't quite get it over the line. Meanwhile, we're all going to have to update our apps and fingers crossed our drivers, Nick, will be able to park outside all those restaurants that we like to attend.
Yes, I'll leave you to get into your BYD with your driver to merge two stories. Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, thank you. 7:40. David in Putney to talk about, is there two-tier justice when you look at the sentencing of cases around the Epping disorder? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. I feel like I'm going to be splitting hairs here because the more I think about it, the more my mind just rattles.
Okay.
I don't feel like it's two-tier systems in place because at the end of the day, I feel like we're undermining the rape case in doing so.
Hang on, it was a sexual assault.
Sorry, sexual assault.
Okay, that's
right. We should be treating the sexual assault with a lot more aggression, but I do not feel like the violent protests should have been treated any differently. That, I feel like it was treated quite fairly in the case of, we are quite a country that is founded on the notion of peaceful protest. It's quite a democratic principle value that we have, but it's the treatment of the sexual assault case that needs to be treated with a lot more aggression, because this is where I feel like people are undermining that rape case, the sexual assault case. Sorry, I really do keep catching myself.
That's all right. No, don't worry. You've corrected it. So, do you think it speaks to a form of two-tier justice, then, David?
I just don't feel like it does, because it makes me feel like if it was two-tier, it would be a case of if it was not a violent protest. So, if it was just some form of unwarranted assault, then the violent protests would have been treated differently. It's as if somehow two-tier justice would suggest that the violent protest was being treated in a more severe case than if it were to be just a random assault or some sort of unrelated to a protest about the sexual assault. I think, again, it comes back to this idea that somehow us talking about a two-tier justice system undermines the notion that the sexual assault case should be treated with more aggression, but the violent protest has been treated reasonably okay.
David, thank you for the points you make. I've got to move on to get to other stories. A couple of emails. Have a good day, David. Thank Ian in Croydon. Of course, there's a two-tier justice system, but it's based on money. Legal aid is virtually abolished. No ability to sue for libel, slander for the regular person. Colin, I don't know why you keep trying to sow division by running these comparisons. You've looked at the stories, there is no comparison. You shouldn't be ashamed of yourself. And then he finishes, best wishes. You should be ashamed of yourself. Best wishes, Colin. That's so charming. What a nice man. Even when he's furious with you, he finishes, kind regards. Trust you well. Best wishes, Colin. Have a good one. Coming up later in the show, your opportunity to hear from the leader of the Conservative Party. Yes, they're holding a conference. Did you see that on television? The man who is effectively second in control of the Conservative Party, the Shadow Chancellor. The hall was half empty. As one writer says in the papers today, it was like being in the cinema on a wet afternoon. There was no one there. Anyway, the leader's going to come on in the next hour. That should be interesting to see what she's going to achieve in Manchester. But that's in the next hour. Let's move to other stories. 7:43, and the mum of a 15-year-old boy murdered in a machete attack has branded his killers as pathetic cowards as they were jailed. LBC's reporter Helen Hodnett has all the details. Helen, good morning.
Morning, Nick. Well, on September the 22nd last year, as he was attacked with a machete in Woolwich in southeast London, Dejan Campbell cried out, "I'm 15, don't let me die." The court heard the killers, 18-year-old Imre Dowu from Woolwich, who was found guilty of murder, and 19-year-old Marco Ballas from Abbey Wood, who was found guilty of manslaughter, chased Dejan that day wearing dark clothing and a balaclava. He died from his injuries, which included two stab wounds, and a motive was never established, but police believe he had been exploited into selling drugs in the area at the time. Speaking to LBC previously, his mother, Jodie Ann Taylor, paid tribute to her son.
Dejon's happy, fun-loving, always got a big smile on his face. He was very athletic. He was brilliant at anything he put his mind to. He was so attentive to his brothers. He was brilliant at cooking. He was just an incredible kid.
Mrs. Taylor faced her son's killers in court and said that actions like theirs tear families and communities apart. A statement by the family was read by Dejon's aunt, Shalina Brown, outside court yesterday.
We're told to stay calm, to trust the system, to wait for change. But how many more children must be buried before this country finally admits it has failed them? How many more mothers must scream into pillows because the streets have become open graves? Every time another child dies, we get the same rehearsed apology, the same reports, the same empty phrases. Lessons will be learnt. But no lessons ever are. Dejon wasn't the first, and heartbreakingly, he won't be the last.
Tragically, Nick, just months after Dejon's death, his friend, 14-year-old Kellyanne Bokassa, was also murdered with a machete. Sentencing the killers yesterday, Judge Sarah Munro KC said he had been sucked into a life in which carrying a knife was the norm, and said they had taken away his chance for a better life. Dowu was sentenced to life with a minimum of 21 years and Balaz to 11 years.
Helen Hodder not reporting. Coming up after the news, the biggest phone gang smashed. An anonymous police officer talking with LBC about the phones he and his team uncovered while on a raid in Enfield last month.
This is just a sample of what we've recovered so far, and there's over 100 phones here, probably closer to 200 in this box alone. Crates-wise, I'll be honest with you, I've probably lost track.
My LBC colleague Fraser Knight was there, and there's a full report in the next hour. Just turned 7:46, LBC News headlines then. Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister has condemned pro-Palestinian protests planned on today's second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. The Metropolitan Police says it has disrupted a gang thought to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. And the Conservatives are to set out plans to scrap the Sentencing Council under a future Tory government. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many areas. A bit wetter in the north, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. So better news on the M11 southbound. All the lanes have reopened just before the North Circular Road, but there are still lengthy delays all the way back to the M25. On the M25, it's still very slow anti-clockwise from junction 27 at the M11 towards 26 at Waltham Abbey after that van broke down earlier. But it's definitely starting to improve because that van's been recovered. On the train, southeastern services are suspended between Ramsgate and Canterbury West. There's a replacement bus service running instead. Southwestern Railway services are delayed between Clapham Junction and Shepperton. And on the underground, there are still minor delays on the Jubilee line. And that was after that signal failure from earlier.
LBC.
With the long, hot summer still fresh in the memory, it's easy to forget what's around the corner. Prepare your BMW for whatever the great British weather can muster with a BMW seasonal inspection. For just £39.99, our expert technicians will top up fluids and oil, check the essentials like tyres, wipers and battery, and return your BMW washed, vacuumed and winter ready. Search BMW seasonal inspection. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
For the nappies, peekaboos and tea parties. Mess, tantrums and sleepless nights. All those yo-yos, action figures and shinies. Lifts to mates, lifts to parties, lifts everywhere. For each and every one of those teenage years. Let's be honest. You probably owe your parents one. So tell them about pension credit. It could boost their pension income by an average of over £4,000 a year. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
A Thameslink train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to skip traffic and glide to wherever you need to be. With headspace to focus on more important matters. Like if that cloud is a starfish or sunflower. Fast journeys without the rush with great deals at TamesLinkRailway.com. Terms apply.
Our pets in a pickle. We're here when it matters most. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Welcome our new bookworms to the club. Now, do you read traditional books or e-books?
Oh, real books.
Traditional, yeah. Always.
Yeah, quite.
I read e-books. I adjust it so the font's huge.
Ooh, they make large font books.
Think bigger. Imagine Moby Dick all cuddled up with a book. His font size.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Maybe it's time for varifocals. At Specsavers, get 2-for-1 varifocal glasses from £110. Conditions and exclusions apply. See online for details.
When BP asked me to read the voiceover for their new Wild Bean Cafe ad, I thought I knew what to expect. But when they told me I'd be reading the script next to a mountain waterfall, on horseback, strumming a harp, in a hailstorm, naked, ow, 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 ow. Well, that was wildly unexpected. Just like Wild Bean Cafe having a freshly ground signature espresso blend for everything from Americanos to flat whites in a fuel station. Wowzers. Wild Bean Cafe. Only at BP. Subject to availability at selected BP stores only.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It's 10 minutes before 8. Coming up, a drive to try and get more people into the teaching profession and bursaries and scholarships that could be worth more than £30,000 in cash. You'll hear from the education secretary in a few moments. We're discussing the idea of whether there's two-tier justice in this country. This comes in the light of sentencing yesterday of people who were involved in violent disorder outside the Bell Hotel in Epping. Now, if you deal with this chronologically, which is normally the best way to deal with any story, you may recall that those protests started after an asylum seeker who'd been in the country for just days, Hadish Kabatu, originally from Ethiopia, was tried and convicted of sexual assault on a teenage girl, a 14-year-old girl, and attempted a sexual assault on a woman who came to the teenage girl's aid. That was dealt with at a magistrate's court. So he, Kabatu, the sex offender, got just 12 months. As for the violent protesters, that was elevated to a Crown Court, where obviously the potential for longer sentences is alive. There, and the three people, and I'm not supporting for a moment, don't think that I am, there's this bug going around at the moment, isn't it? I think I really have copped it, by the way. That they shouldn't be jailed. Of course they should. But they got 2 years, 4 months, 2 years, 2 months, and 1 year, 10 months. So, in all but one instance, more than double what the sense original offender did. And I'm asking whether that leads to two-tier justice. This is what you're saying. On social media, Mark in Lee Green, we know there's two-tier justice. As you recall, the arrest of my wife and I back in July 2024. I do remember that, Mark, and I do remember how you challenged it. And I'll read on. If I wasn't persistent on going not guilty and time wasted in Crown Court, I'd be sitting in a cell now. This is two-tier Keir's way of trying to break the bit of Dunkirk spirit the country might still have. Meanwhile, William says, absolutely the protesters should get longer. Touching someone's thigh over their clothes is wrong, but not serious. Throwing bricks, punching and kicking police officers, very dangerous, much more serious. I agree with you. I think, respectfully, sir, you're not quite getting it how I've cast it, which is that man's case should have gone to a Crown Court and a proper sentence handed down. Lenny in Ashford, it's a while since we spoke, and I trust you're well. Trust you better than I am. I've got this damn cold. I trust you well, Lenny. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm tickety-boo. Thank you, Nick.
Well, that's the country air, you see. I need a blast of Kentish air. That's what I need.
Well,
good Kentish
I'd love
air.
To share a table with you if you can, mate. No problem.
Talk to me about two-tier justice.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is two-tier justice, but what it is, you had one caller that spoke a lot of common sense, you
right.
know, that you know, it had to go to the magistrate's court.
No, the Crown Court. It had to go from magistrates up to Crown.
It should go to the Crown Court.
Yeah, I agree.
Sentence has been passed that he's only got 1 year in prison, why can't that people appeal against it because it isn't a long enough sentence for a sexual assault?
That would have to obviously probably go, I imagine, to the Justice Secretary. We did actually look at that. I recall we had a conversation, or when I say we, the team did, and it's very difficult to get it now effectively brought back and then moved up. But, Lenny, I think you speak for a lot of people. I have to leave it there, sir. I was going to ask you about the weather conditions because I have the opportunity. Lenny, I look forward to speaking to you again. But to bring into the conversation the Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, this as their ideas of bursaries and scholarships worth more than £30,000 to try and attract people to the teaching profession. Here with more details, Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson. Good to have you on, Secretary of State. How do these work? Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning. So I'm announcing today a range of incentives to encourage people to move into teacher training, with extra incentives available there for particular subject, shortage subjects and particular specialisms like computing and physics. We've seen big progress over the last year in terms of the numbers of teachers in the profession, 2,300 more and more teachers staying in the profession. But I wanted to make teaching a really attractive place for our best graduates, and this is about how we support teachers to make that difference. And I'm sure we all remember the teacher that made a difference in our life and turned things around, and that's why having fantastic teachers in our classrooms is what will make all the difference to our children's life chances.
So how do people get the... I've got a figure here of £31,000, if that's the correct figure, Secretary. So how do they get to that?
Yes, it's just under. So they'll be able to apply. These don't apply for all subjects. They only apply in certain subjects. So people will be able to go online and see what's available for training. You know, we need to encourage, for example, more teachers in areas like physics and computing. So that's where we're focusing. But actually, over the course of the last year, we've seen a big increase in the number of graduates coming forward to train in those subject shortage areas like maths and physics, which is really encouraging.
Why do you suppose it is? I assume then we're doing okay in languages and English and French or whatever. Why do you suppose we have the shortage in that specific area, Secretary of State?
That's been a long-standing challenge. I think it's partly because they're often, for those graduates in subjects like maths and physics, there are often very attractive options out there in the private sector in particular. And that's why we do need to make teaching an attractive career. Yes, around pay, and we've given teachers two pay rises as a government, but also it's about addressing challenges on workload too, to make teaching a great place that people want to come, but also a great place where people stay in. The numbers that we're seeing staying in the profession rather than leaving also show that we're moving in the right direction.
Now, you had promised to recruit 6,500 additional teachers into classrooms by 2028-29. How are we getting on with hitting that target?
We're making good progress. There's more to do, but we're at 2,300 so far. So a good way down the line, but more to do. And today's announcement will also help recruit more teachers. But also, we need to keep more teachers, so we don't want experienced people to be leaving.
Do we pay teachers enough?
I think teaching is an attractive career. We have delivered two pay rises since this Labour government came to office of almost 10%. That will make a difference. But what teachers tell me is that whilst pay is an important consideration, they also want to see other issues tackled, like workload pressure and also some of the wider pressures that families are facing. That's why the big expansion of free school meals I'm delivering, 500,000 more children from next year will get a free school meal. That will make a big difference to child poverty, which teachers say to me is really holding back their students, but also adds to their workload as well.
Can we talk about another aspect of education, which is our universities? And there is concern that there could be demonstrations planned on this October the 7th, the second anniversary since those horrific events in Israel, and, of course, the subsequent horrific events in much of the region. Robert Jenrick, the Conservative, said the protests are a effing disgrace. How would you describe them, Secretary of State?
I would say to anybody thinking about protesting today, 2 years on from the appalling events, the atrocities that we saw on October the 7th, I would urge them to pause, to reflect, to remember our shared humanity, our responsibilities towards one another, and how many Jewish people in our country will be feeling today, not least given the terrorist attack in Manchester, that whilst you can protest and it's an important cornerstone of our democracy, you don't have to protest, and you don't have to protest today of all days.
Staying with Mr. Jenrick, he's been recorded speaking at an event in Birmingham where he went to do some filming, and he said, and I quote, he didn't see another white face, adding, that's not the kind of country I want to live in. How do you react to that, Bridget Phillipson?
I think that is a deeply troubling set of remarks. I mean, I haven't heard the wider excerpt of that, but the bits I have seen reported, I think Robert Jenrick has got a lot of explaining to do. Is he, for example, suggesting that somehow the colour of your skin makes you less British than someone else? Is that the implication of what he's saying? I think it would be good if Robert Jenrick could come out and explain exactly what it is he meant when he said that.
Now, you personally, ballots open tomorrow. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm battling a bit of a cold at the moment. I do apologise. Ballots open tomorrow for the Labour Party deputy leadership. What would you say to potential supporters? What do you want to achieve with the party?
The reason I'm standing in my message to members in this contest is that I'll unite our party and our movement, bring it together. I'll take the fight to reform. We've got to beat reform. We're in the fight of our lives. But I'll be a campaigning voice at the cabinet table, getting things done for members. I've got a strong track record on taking action on areas like child poverty, which will be my number one priority if I'm elected as deputy. And I saw the amazing work that Angela Rayner did as someone who had a job in Cabinet, had a big job in government, but was also a campaigning deputy leader. The same was true of John Prescott, Harriet Harman. That's the kind of model we've had over many years in the Labour Party. I want to build on that, but I also want to make members proud to be out there on the doors making the case for Labour ahead of the elections we've got coming up next year.
And lastly and briefly, how would you, to use your words, how would you take the fight to reform then?
So we need to show that we're making change that people feel in their communities, whether that's about cost of living or public services, which are a really big challenge that lots of the people I represent and lots of people across the country remain concerned about. But we have to do that in a way that is consistent with our values, that holds true to what we believe in as Labour, and also that recognises, as a country, we are a compassionate, outward-looking and diverse country, and that is a real source of strength for us too.
Grateful for your time. Thank you. Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson talking about those bursaries and enticements worth around £30,000. Thank you for your time. Coming up after the news, we come to the Prime Minister and others, anger at the student protests, of course, on the anniversary of October 7th. In a related story...
On the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks, have the US got us to a position where we're closer to peace? I'm LBC's Henry Riley looking at the impact of President Donald Trump.
Plus, a gang responsible for exporting almost half of the mobile phones stolen on Britain streets has been smashed in an extraordinary police sting, and congratulations to them. Good luck to that. We'll come back to Robert Jenrick's comments about the lack of white faces in Handsworth in Birmingham, and staying with the Conservative Party, the leader, Kemi Badenoch, will join me later in this hour. But the 8 o'clock news on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, Keir Starmer has condemned pro-Palestinian protests planned for today as un-British. A number of student demonstrations are set to take place on the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks in Israel. The Prime Minister says Britain will always stand tall against anti-Jewish hate. The Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, has told Nick that any potential protesters should think again.
I would urge them to pause, to reflect, to remember our shared humanity, our responsibilities towards one another, and how many Jewish people in our country will be feeling today, not least given the terrorist attack in Manchester, that whilst you can protest, and it's an important cornerstone of our democracy, you don't have to protest, and you don't have to protest today of all days.
Indirect talks between Israel and Hamas are set to continue. In Egypt, the delegations meeting in Sharm el-Sheikh are considering Donald Trump's plan to secure peace in Gaza. Robert Jenrick will promise to tackle so-called two-tier justice in his speech to the Conservative Party conference later. He will promise to put ministers in charge of sentencing guidelines for judges in England and Wales. Labour says it's a cynical gimmick. LBC's political editor Natasha Clarke is at the Tory conference in Manchester.
Earlier this year, the Labour government had a fight with the Sentencing Council over guidance which ordered judges to factor in race, sex and religion when deciding sentences. Mr. Jenrick says today that he would scrap the body. He says it's seriously watering down our sentences. The Lord Chancellor will instead get the power to set those prison sentences. Mr. Jenrick's expected to say that the body is not fit for purpose. He will say that every single person in the UK should be treated exactly the same, regardless of their background.
Police have disrupted a gang believed to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. It's suspected of smuggling up to 40,000 stolen phones from Britain to China over the past 12 months. 46 people have been arrested. Police are investigating a major security breach at an army base in Wiltshire. A wire fence was cut and fuel was stolen from a tanker at Larkhill Royal Artillery Barracks over the weekend. Teachers who train in physics, chemistry and maths are to be given tax-free bursaries worth up to £31,000. It's part of government efforts to tackle teacher shortages. Trainees will also be able to access £15,000 to specialise in special educational needs. The chemicals giant INEOS is to cut a fifth of jobs at a plant in Hull. The firm has blamed the 60 redundancies on high energy costs and cheap imports from China. In the city, the FTSE 100's reopening at 94.79. It closed down 12 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 15. LBC weather, quite cloudy but dry for many areas. Some patchy rain further north, a high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
Have you seen the all-new iPhone 17 Pro? Designed from the inside out, it's the most powerful iPhone yet, with the ultimate pro camera system. What's more, at Vodafone, you can get the new iPhone now and every year with Vodafone Exchange. Go online or in-store today. Vodafone.
Credit check and terms apply. Trade in iPhone 17 series in good condition 12 months before phone plan ends and upgrade. Every year based on 24-month plan. See vodafone.co.uk/exchange.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning to you, 4 minutes after eight on Tuesday, October the 7th, as much of the world will pause and look back at the horrific events of 2 years ago. We'll look at two different aspects. One at home, the idea that these student protests are likely to go ahead despite requests from the Prime Minister and others to show some degree of respect. And a more global event is President Trump achieving the unachievable, inching closer to peace. Back here in the UK, a senior politician is showing his true colours.
It was one of the worst integrated places that I've ever been to. In the hour and a half that I was filming with news there, I didn't see another white face. And that's not the kind of country I want to live in.
Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick would be leader of the party, in truth, talking about a visit he took to Handsworth in Birmingham earlier this year. What is the point he's trying to get across? Do you agree? Is he right or is he racist? Plus,
I'm Fraser Knight, out with police as they arrest suspected members of a gang linked to 40% of the phones stolen in London last year, in the biggest investigation they've ever done.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
2 years on. Just 2 years on. And where were you on that fateful day? Since those horrific events on October the 7th, there have been ceasefires, there have been pauses, but no agreement has actually proved substantial. The terror attack perpetrated by Hamas was done at a time when Joe Biden was, of course, President of the United States. But what has Donald Trump's return to the Oval Office meant? Has it shifted the narrative? LBC's Henry Riley has been looking at the influence of one Donald Trump.
America has no better ally than Israel. It's obvious that Israel has no better ally than America.
The closest of allies, regardless of whoever is in the Oval Office. In the immediate aftermath of October the 7th, Joe Biden sought to reinforce that steadfast support.
The United States has Israel's back. We will make sure the Jewish and democratic state of Israel can defend itself today, tomorrow, as we always have.
We've seen it described as Israel's 9/11. But for a nation the size of Israel, it was like 15 9/11s.
But as Israel later retaliated with fire and fury in Gaza, patience wore thin. The then president was caught on a hot mic criticizing Benjamin Netanyahu. As tensions frayed, the Middle East became a key election issue.
We saved Israel. We are the biggest producer of support for Israel of anyone in the world. Hamas cannot be allowed to be continued.
You should let him go and let him finish the job. He doesn't want to do it. He's become like a Palestinian. But they don't like him because he's a very bad Palestinian. He's a weak one.
And as President Trump saw off Joe Biden, he was even more forthright with his next challenger, Kamala Harris.
She hates Israel. She wouldn't even meet with Netanyahu when he went to Congress to make a very important speech. She refused to be there because she was at a sorority party. If she's president, I believe that Israel will not exist within 2 years from now. And I've been pretty good at predictions, and I hope I'm wrong about that one.
Who he also saw off becoming the 47th president. Since then, he's boasted about ending wars.
In a period of just 7 months, I have ended seven unendable wars. They said they were unendable.
But hasn't offered Israel a blank check, and frustrations have become clear, notably in the aftermath of rising tensions between Israel and Iran.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** doing. Do you understand that?
The president also caught much of the international community off guard when he shared an AI video of him on a sun lounger in Gaza with the Israeli PM.
The Riviera of the Middle East. This could be so magnificent.
Phenomenal location. On the sea, best weather.
He claims to be the best ever president for foreign policy. His critics argue he's haphazard and reckless. His supporters, though, claim his unconventional approach could just achieve the unthinkable.
So this is a big, big day, a beautiful day, potentially one of the great days ever in civilization. And let's call it eternal peace in the Middle East.
President Trump concluding Henry Riley's report, 8 after 8. Let's turn to Dr. Sharon Lifshitz, who's a British-Israeli academic whose father was killed in that attack on October the 7th. Her mother was released later that month, and the Dr. Lifshitz joins me now. We'll talk about global events first, but as a Jewish woman living in the United Kingdom, when we look at how the effects of the war in Gaza have rippled out across the world, culminating with that horrific attack at the synagogue last week, how safe do you feel, Doctor? Good morning.
Good morning. I feel reasonably safe, but I think it is becoming much harder for people to feel safe. It's becoming much harder for people to wear Jewish signs like a kippah and then walk through the street. I think there's a moment for reckoning of where the society in the UK feel Jews should be.
Many commentators sense there could be, it could be on the sense of a breakthrough of some kind of peace. How confident do you feel?
When I will see my friends having their children, I will feel confident. When I will see the last hostage coming back, I will feel confident. When my friends in the south of Israel stop hearing the bombs falling on Gaza, I would feel confident. I think we are in closer to it than we have been, and that is wonderful. But until it actually happens, then it can fall apart just as well.
What confidence do you have in the Israeli government, Doctor?
I do not have a lot of confidence in the Israeli government at all. I never had. I don't believe that. I think we know now that they destroyed a few times the second stage of the deal or made it not possible. So, no, I have no confidence in them. There should be an election as soon as possible, and the people of Israel should elect a government when they know that this government was in charge of the 7-10.
How do you view President Trump in this area?
President Trump is unprecedented. He works in a different way. And I think he is good at pushing the parties to do what they don't want to do. I hope he will keep his attention on the Middle East and push both sides in a way they can't wriggle out of enough.
You are an academic. There are demonstrations, pro-Palestinian demonstrations and protests planned for today. The Prime Minister says that they're unpatriotic. How do you view these planned demos, Doctor?
You know, if it is about reaching solutions in the Middle East, I'm all for it. Unfortunately, all too often, they, you know, they are in support of Hamas and Islamic Jihad. As somebody who comes from a community in which 64 members were murdered on 7th of October and after, I find that horrific. I find the way some of it support violence horrific.
Do you ever speak to your mother about what she endured?
Yeah, we laugh about it also.
What does she say, Doctor?
She is still there. So long as people are there in the tunnel, that's something that all hostages that returned feel. They're there with the people that are still held hostage. And for my mom, she has not been able to move on with her life. She dedicates her life to fighting for the hostages.
And how aware of that fight do you think the Israeli government is?
I think they try to belittle it. I think they have tried to appoint certain members of the government, has even said it's a personal problem of the families. But the public in Israel, very much the majority of the public, is cannot get on with his life until all the hostages come back. And the public is pushing the government in many, many ways to do the right thing, to return our loved ones.
How do you feel towards Hamas?
How do I feel towards all jihad and all hate? I feel it's, you know, it's horrific. It's horrific. It's an abomination of Islam.
And you said at a rally, I wake up every morning knowing I have failed my father. In what way do you feel that, Doctor?
You know, in his last days, we were not there with him. He never, ever saw us again after that morning. We never said goodbye. Didn't know if we're looking for him and fighting for him.
But you're not responsible for the actions of the terrorists, Doctor.
Hmm?
You're not responsible for the actions of the terrorists.
No, but like all daughters and sons, I feel I ought to be there for my father, and I was not.
And lastly, a word on the events in Manchester. As a Jewish woman, what you saw or read about outside the synagogue or heard?
You know, it's very scary for a lot of people, and it's unnecessary, and I think it comes out of hate and for the excusing of hate. We shouldn't allow it to anyone, you know, not to all religions, not to anyone. We should find ways to make this country respect each other.
I have enjoyed our conversation. My condolences and best wishes to your family today, Dr. Sharon Lifshitz. Thank you, British Israeli academic. You lost your father in the attack. You got your mother back, but it took some weeks. Two aspects then for us to discuss here. One is the idea that Trump is the... Let me just remind them the very clever words that the... Here we are, the Times editorial today says, there's a glimmer of hope, a serious opportunity to end the violence Trump's Gaza plan is offering. Take your view on that. And also, of course, away from the American president to the British prime minister, who says these demos or protests would be, quotes, unpatriotic. We'll pick up on that aspect as well. 8:15, LBC News headlines, and Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister has condemned pro-Palestinian protests planned on today's second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. The Metropolitan Police says it has disrupted a gang thought to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. And the Conservatives are to set out plans to scrap the Sentencing Council under a future Tory government. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many areas, a bit wetter in the north, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays on the western stretch of the M25. Anti-clockwise, it's slow from junction 15 at the M4 to 13 at Staines. It was after an accident, but all the lanes are now back open. Also very busy on the M23 southbound from the M25 to junction 9 at Gatwick Airport. A car's broken down. And queues on the M20 westbound to junction 4 at Leybourne after an accident, but all the lanes are back open. On the underground, there are minor delays on the Jubilee line. Also minor delays on the Elizabeth line between Shenfield and Whitechapel. No service on London Overground for the Windrush line between Wandsworth Road and Clapham Junction. That's because of a track problem. And also, Southwestern Railway services are delayed at Clapham Junction.
This is LBC.
At TfL, we're helping to make bus journeys greener. Our entire bus fleet is 100% low or zero emission at the tailpipe, including those for our Superloop routes, helping improve air quality for all. And we'll have a fully zero-emission fleet by 2034. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Our lives are becoming more reliant on electricity than ever. We're streaming, cooking, working, charging our cars, even spying on our neighbours through the doorbell camera. So soon we'll need even more electricity. We could be harnessing our own homegrown energy, but we need to grow our electricity grid to connect it. Then we can make the country more self-sufficient. And leave you to keep an eye on Sandra at number 42 in case she steals your green bin. Again. Moving the grid forward moves us all forward.
Amazon has increased funding for employees to £3,000 a year every year for career development. Like Juliet, she's now a trained technician. And to her, the sound of machinery in need of repair reminds her of how far she's come. In 2 years, she's landed her dream job, providing her with valuable skills. That's up to £3,000 every year for career development at Amazon. Eligibility conditions apply.
Mickey could try to sell his car privately. Or get it sold today with We Buy Any Car. He could spend days on end trying to sell to a bunch of time wasters. Or sell in a flash and head to the fun fair with the kids. Proper gutted. Or proper impressed. To get a quote in 30 seconds, enter your reg number now at webuyanycar.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
19 minutes after it, coming to your views on those two aspects. Is Trump moving closer to a peace deal? It would be extraordinary, wouldn't it? And the idea that these demonstrations or protests will go ahead despite the Prime Minister and others calling for them not to. Let's talk a little bit more about those protests, actually, and hear what some senior politicians have said. Speaking at an event, a fringe event at the Conservative Party conference this weekend up in Manchester, Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick made his views known about those planning to protest.
There are protests being scheduled in universities for October the 7th. I think that's a disgrace, frankly. That's an absolute disgrace. I would say first and foremost to the people, our fellow citizens, who are thinking of doing that, show some common decency.
An effing disgrace. Well, in the previous hour of the show, I asked the Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, would she share that sentiment?
I would say to anybody thinking about protesting today, 2 years on from the appalling events, the atrocities that we saw on October the 7th, I would urge them to pause, to reflect, to remember our shared humanity, our responsibilities towards one another, and how many Jewish people in our country will be feeling today, not least given the terrorist attack in Manchester, that whilst you can protest, and it's an important cornerstone of our democracy, you don't have to protest, and you don't have to protest today of all days.
John, I'll talk to you about the aspect of peace potentially with Donald Trump, but let's talk about protest or not. Malcolm in Wigan, what do you say to that, Malcolm? Good morning.
What I say to that is that it's a very patriotic thing to demonstrate to oppose genocide. And I would also argue that by keeping the pressure on, that is encouraging decision makers like President Trump to do their best to try to end the genocide that's happening in Gaza today.
Why can't it be just postponed for one day? Out of respect for all those who've lost their lives?
Well, I mean, the way that you show respect for those who've lost their lives is by preventing the ongoing genocide that is happening.
Everyone is aware of that, right? It's not as if no one knows about the situation in the Middle East. So I put it to you again. What would be lost by, for 24 hours, to mark the lives lost on all sides, there will be no demos. We will just pause, and to use a very modern word, we will reflect.
People can reflect when they're on demonstrations and when they're sat silently saying no opposition to genocide in Gaza. That is a form of reflection. So I am strongly opposed to the...
Why can't you respect Jewish people in this? Many Jewish people in this country who would just like a day, a solemn day of reflection. Why should they be ignored?
Let's just make the point that there are many Jewish people who are going...
No. Answer my question. The majority of Jewish people, of course there are Jewish people on those demos, just want a quiet day, as the Prime Minister has said. Why can't they have that?
They can have their quiet day. Of course they can.
They don't need to take
any notice whatsoever of those demonstrations. Okay. They can sit quietly...
Why are you right and everyone else in this instance is wrong, including the Prime Minister?
Look, let's just get personal for a bit. My great-aunt helped to liberate Belsen. She was in the Royal Auxiliary RAF Forces.
Tremendous work, a very brave woman. But would you answer my question?
Repeat it, please.
Why are you right, and so many others, including the Prime Minister, the Education Secretary, the Home Secretary, they're all wrong?
Look, we have a tradition in this country, I'm going off the tradition, that people have a legitimate and fundamental right to demonstrate, and we should not allow that to be disrupted by any political figure, because if we give up our right to demonstrate, we will have allowed people whose thinking is very different to our own to win.
All right. I think respectfully, you either haven't understood or you're not choosing. I'm not saying you lose your right to demonstrate, of course. I'm suggesting you put it on hold for one day as a mark of respect. Malcolm, thank you, and indeed for the work that your relative did. Crucial work indeed, Malcolm, thank you. John in Enfield, let's talk peace and Donald Trump. Is he going to get us there? Morning.
Yeah, Nick, well, possibly, because I don't know if you know this, but you know the Nobel Prize on a yearly basis? The announcement is made for the potential people to get it in early October.
Right.
So I think this is where Trump is going into this deal, because he's a deal maker. He's after his Nobel Prize. So,
well, if he brought about peace, let him have the prize, surely. If he brings peace, let him have the prize.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that at this point in time, there's going to be no greater pressure on Israel to do something because Trump is after his Nobel Prize. But, Nick, another quick thing for you.
Yeah.
There's a great journalist that works for New York Times. She's on YouTube. Her name is Diane Francis.
Right.
But you know what she describes the 7th of October as?
I'm afraid I don't.
Putin's birthday present, because it's Putin's birthday on the 7th of October.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I'm into the Ukraine war on a daily basis on YouTube, but at the time, you see, when America got distracted with the Ukraine war, strategically, for what Hamas did, it sort of took the focus on the American arms to go into Israel to help Israel.
Right.
So strategically, the date, sort of played into, you got the Iranian.
I get what the journalist is getting at. John, thank you. I was not aware of that. Thank you for updating. Please excuse me. Moving on. 8:25. Let's get more voices on. Abby's in Kingston. Should the protest go ahead? Should they pause for 24 hours? Good morning.
Hi, thank you for having me. So I think it's kind of missing the point. In your previous quote, where she was talking about a shared humanity, mm-hmm. I think humanity doesn't include just the UK. I think it includes the world events. And we've got a massive genocide going on in Gaza, where every day now Netanyahu's upped his game and killing hundreds of citizens, including children. So if we are a shared humanity, then that includes protesting against that every day, and everyone should have a right to do that.
Why don't they protest about the release of the hostages as well, these folk?
So there are people protesting about the release of hostages,
but that
right?
That won't be
so
mentioned at the rallies today, will it? There won't be Free the Hostages, there will be Free Palestine and all those other chants. There'll be no Free the Hostages chanting, will there, Abby? And I wonder why.
So in terms of kind of Free the Hostages, so you mean in terms of the Israeli hostages held by Hamas?
Yeah.
We don't need to answer for Hamas, right? So we are not representing Hamas, we are representing...
Sorry, you're representing the Israeli government then, are you?
No, we're representing the Palestinian citizens. So we don't have a responsibility to answer for Hamas. We have a responsibility...
I thought you talked about humanity.
Yes.
Isn't humanity... Surely the two sides to the coin of humanity is end the war in Gaza and release the hostages, no?
Yes, so that's absolutely fine, right?
Why don't we ever hear chants about that, do you imagine, Abby?
There have been chants about actually releasing hostages. That's not something that's maybe the focus, but that's also because we're thinking about proportional people, right? So we're talking about thousands and thousands of citizens. So, of course, when you think about actually what the majority of people are going to talk about, it will be what the majority of people are being targeted for.
All right. Abby, thank you. Katie's in Watford. Katie, should they pause for today? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much. 100% they should pause today. It's disgusting. I mean, the equivalent would be on an anniversary of the 7th of July bombings in London or 9/11, frankly, in America, you'd be allowing people to celebrate Al-Qaeda. Nothing happened. This day, 2 years ago, Israel was still trying to get back its people. It was trying to fight the terrorists up until the next day. The war did not begin. Israel didn't start going into Gaza for 20 days. What happened on this day was 14-year-old, 12-year-old girls raped and murdered, and let us have this day. I mean, it's just despicable. I think the fact is that it's just a real blight, not just, disrespecting the Jewish community and the people that lost their lives that day, but also our society. There are powers to delay it. There are powers under the Public Order Act for councils, in the case of the rest of the UK and London, and the Home Secretary can do this, to delay these assemblies for a time. We're asking for a day. I think it's despicable, frankly. And
why do they do it? What fuels it?
Unfortunately, it's the age-old anti-Semitism. I don't think... You're completely right. There will be not one person today looking at how this war could end.
No one will chant... I guarantee you this, Katie. No one will chant, Free the Hostages.
100%. And all they chant ceasefire, and the ceasefire's on the table. Hamas are the ones that are delaying it. And frankly, you know, had they returned the hostages, or frankly not taken them in the first place, the war would be over. So if you want peace for Palestinians and Israelis alike, then this is not the way to go about it. You call for a ceasefire, which there's one on the table.
Katie, thank you. Ash in Reading. Ash, should they pause and reflect? Good morning.
Hello. Hi, Nick. I listen to your show every day. I love your show. First time caller.
Thank you.
I don't usually call, but I feel very, very passionate about this. I think people should really reconsider and not protest today. I think it's the least we can do to show respect to the Jewish community and support. I think the Jewish community feel absolutely ostracised from this country at the moment.
Question, is it anti-Semitism that keeps these demos going, or a genuine sense that they will somehow, these demonstrators will influence events? Which is it, Ash? Excuse me.
I think it's ignorant to deny that there isn't a factor of anti-Semitism, or that it doesn't fuel, and it does have an arm release. And sorry, I'm not articulating myself
well. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
There definitely it does fuel anti-Semitism to a point, because people use these protests as an excuse to spout the nonsense. I mean, I'm a British Hindu, but I'm not Jewish, but I feel very strongly for the Jewish community. I mean, last week when those terrible events happened in Manchester, my first reaction was to phone my local Jewish community. And I wanted to take flowers to our local synagogues, and I didn't know if that was culturally appropriate.
Ah, and how interesting. Yes, okay. And is it?
Apparently not so, because from what I was reading and told, flowers are associated with happy events.
Ah, how sensitive of you to think that. That's really smart of you, because you have to be aware how different cultures react. Ash, I've got to get to the news, but I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for being a first-timer. First time, first class. Be like Ash, get it off your chest and get it on the radio. Coming up after the news, the Metropolitan Police have dismantled an international smuggling gang responsible for exporting tens of thousands of stolen phones, mostly off to China. Policing Minister Sarah Jones spoke with LBC at an early morning raid in Enfield.
Everybody knows how horrible it is to have your phone stolen. Our phones are worth so much money now, and we need to make sure people are protected, and that's what the police are doing.
A full report after this. It's 8:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC in the News. Is with Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister has condemned pro-Palestinian protests planned on today's second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. Sir Keir Starmer says it's un-British to have so little respect for the Jewish community. A future Conservative government would scrap the body that sets guidelines for judges in England and Wales. The Shadow Justice Secretary will set out the plans later, accusing the Sentencing Council of creating a two-tier nightmare. The Metropolitan Police says it's disrupted a gang thought to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. The organisation is suspected to have smuggled up to 40,000 stolen phones from the UK to China over the past year. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many, with some patchy rain further north, a high of 18 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
The difficulty here is that the angry white middle-aged men that Gary Neville says are dividing the nation feel divided from it already. They feel that the nation has changed in a way that you're not comfortable with. I think they're right. I think you are right to be angry.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on your radio, on our free Global Player app, or the LBC app.
Hey, it's me, your dishwasher. I'm sorry about the chaos last night. I think a fork got jammed in my racks. Whoops. Don't even check the bills. I've overdone it. Don't get mad, okay? But I used up lots of power yesterday. Sometimes you just have to blow off some steam.
It can feel like all your energy does is take, take, take. But the longer you're with OVO, the more rewards you get. OVO, do energy differently. Beyond customers only, eligibility required, redemption limits apply.
At TfL, we're making tube journeys faster in the future, with signalling improvements underway on the Circle, District, Hammersmith and City and Metropolitan lines. And there's also the Elizabeth line, already giving you fast journeys across central London. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Elizabeth Line is fast compared to other TfL modes. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Fraud can happen faster than you think. But at Barclays, we use innovative technology that spots fraud in under a second. And our dedicated team of experts work 24/7. So you can go about your day knowing we never stop working to keep you and your money safe. Search Barclays Fraud Protection to see how you can stay one step ahead. Barclays. Make money work for you.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060973.
8:33, coming back to your calls in a moment on two aspects of the 2 years on from the Hamas attacks on Israel. One is, are we inching closer to peace? The other is, here in the UK, should those demonstrations that are planned, I'll give you where they planned. Actually, the I newspaper has a very comprehensive report on that, listing the various universities and colleges where they're planned. Prime Minister, the Home Secretary and others saying, and indeed the Education Secretary on this show in the previous hour, saying they should be postponed for just one day. More on that in a moment. But the story I've mentioned a couple of times, a gang thought to be responsible for two-fifths of London's phone thefts has been disrupted. The Met arresting 46 people during 2 weeks of action. They include two men believed to have smuggled some 40,000 devices out of the country. Yes, 40,000 phones, and sending them off to China. LBC's Fraser Knight was given access to the police operation.
These officers are going after members of a gang thought to be responsible for 40% of all phone thefts in London.
We've executed a search warrant and we've arrested an individual. At the moment, the search is ongoing in relation to that, hopefully in the recovery of a mobile phone devices, which are predominantly what these individuals are targeting.
More than 2,000 phones have been found over the past 2 weeks at properties linked to the suspects. Two Afghan nationals, codenamed Heron and Seagull.
This is just a sample of what we've recovered so far, and there's over 100 phones here, probably closer to 200 in this box alone. Crates-wise, I'll be honest with you, I've probably lost track, but this is probably one of 10, 15 crates.
But this is just a drop in the ocean of the 40,000 phones they're thought to have shipped off to China over the past year. Commissioner Sir Mark Rowley told us his teams have gone after people at every level of the chain.
We're tackling those on the streets who are stealing the phones, so the robbers snatching them out of people's hands, or the dippers taking them out of bags and pockets. We're tackling the handlers in between that who are buying those phones for £200, £300, sometimes £400 off the thieves. And then also at the centre of gravity of this is a massive operation against an international organised crime group that's been exporting phones to Hong Kong, China.
The investigation into this group started last December when a victim traced her phone to a warehouse at Heathrow Airport. Inside, officers found a box filled with hundreds of devices. Some of them weren't even turned off, and noises like this were coming from inside. Detectives, who usually deal with gun and drug crimes, were drafted in. And 10 months later, the people thought to be orchestrating it all have been detained, alongside 44 others. Watching on at 5 a.m. as police forced their way into the home of a Bulgarian woman suspected of pickpocketing in central London, Policing Minister Sarah Jones told me this is one of the biggest operations the UK has ever seen by police going after phone thieves.
A lot of police involved, really impressive work across all kinds of different forces in the Met, and this should be really important in getting to the heart of those crimes that so many people are affected by.
I suspect being led out by the police now. Well, that's happening. What sort of message do you think this sends, seeing that happen now?
The police are really, really joined up across the Met for the first time to tackle this kind of crime. And I think that's really important. It's what the public want to see. People want to be safe on their streets. And that's the priority for this government. It's the priority for the Met.
Policing Minister Sarah Jones concluding Fraser Knight's report. Just a quick question. And so I have no technological skills or knowledge whatsoever. Is there not a system where the minute your phone gets nicked, you contact Vodafone or EE or whoever else supplies the damn things, I don't know, Tesco's, and they just press a button and it just wipes it out? I'm not suggesting, by the way, as they did with the pagers, the Hamas pagers, this Israel blew them up. I'm not saying the phones blow up, but it cannot be beyond the wit of man that you ring Vodafone or EE, and you say, right, I'll give you my telephone number. It's 07740. Oh, no, I better stop there. But that's my phone number, right? That's my phone number. OK, yep, just what's your date of birth? What's your mother's maiden name? What's your... Right, okay, we're going to press it now. You know, like when your credit card gets stolen, right? We're wiping it out. Boom. Has this happened to you as well? And then you find it in your top pocket as you take your suit to the cleaners. Oh God, that's where I put it. Anyway, my phone has gone. Boom, zip, gone. Wiped out. There must be a technological way to do that. We can land people on the moon, for God's sake. Why can't we wipe out a phone? Then, if there was no trade-on value, it would end, wouldn't it? We might talk about that. Ali's in Slough, hanging on the line. Why can't they pause protests for 24 hours, Ali? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. This proposition is premised on ignorance, irrationality or insincerity and two-tier journalism and two-tier human rights.
Blimey. Are you a caller or a critic?
Take your pick.
Go ahead, Ali.
If innocent people dying on the 7th of October was wrong, which it is, then all the 7th of Octobers from 1940s to 2023 and since mandate and indeed required a demonstration. It's insincere, ignorant or irrational to equate people demonstrating against a genocide with anti-Semitism. In fact, that is the definition of anti-Semitism. You equate Israel with the actions, Israeli actions with Jewish people. The two are like chalk and cheese.
As I was discussing with Katie, why can't they also chant free the hostages?
All hostages should be freed.
No, but they won't. You know, Ali, you know they won't chant that. Why not?
You can go and ask them. I can't speak for them.
Why do you imagine that would be?
Because there are hostages in the dungeons of Israel and there are hostages in Gaza. Both of them should be freed. I have a principled position. You don't call for the release of hostages in Israel, do you?
Yeah, if it brings about peace. Yeah, absolutely.
I just said it.
Let's get the hostages out. Free hostages from Israel to bring about peace. Yes.
Good. 10,000 of those, and we're on the common ground, then, aren't we?
But there won't be. None of that will be shown today as regards freeing the Israeli hostages who are held in Gaza. None of that will be expressed today.
Well, the Ferrari Formula and demonstrations and protests is not universally accepted, sadly, Nick. I know it's not going to be going down too kindly with you, but the whole purpose of protest is that you say what you want.
But why can't you just for 24 hours not say what you want? What would be the damage?
It's anti-Semitic.
Professor, you don't answer a question with a question. Why can't they hold for 24 hours? Because
it's their fundamental choice to do so.
All right. I still think it's wrong. Best to your family, Ali. Thank you. 20 to 9. Chandra's in Newcastle. Chandra, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I mean, what happened on 7th of October 2 years ago is barbaric and horrible.
Of course.
But what happened since 7th of October 2023 is also equally or even more barbaric. Now, if we are saying that today is somehow special because of the set of events 2 years ago, then, I mean, every single day after that, the number of young women killed, number of mothers killed, number of young boys killed.
Yes.
When are we going to grieve?
It can be ended today if they release... It could be ended today if they release the hostages.
What about the trauma?
Don't answer what about.
Tens of thousands of families have gone through.
What about the trauma that thousands of Israelis have gone through? What about the trauma? I wonder whether today those hostages will get a cup of rice or some mouldy pita bread. I wonder what's on the menu for them. So, why don't we release the hostages and then it can all end?
How keen has Netanyahu been
why don't you answer that question?
Please ask the question again.
It's a pretty straightforward one, sir. Why won't they release the hostages and end it all?
Who? Hamas?
Yes.
Well, if both sides have acted wanting peace and working towards peace, then...
You're being a politician here. You're not answering my question, sir.
Neither said. When Netanyahu and Trump were in talks, there were killings in Gaza. Israel hasn't stopped killing even while having peace negotiations or even as it was planning peace.
Right.
So neither side has acted honorably here. So to somehow attribute honor and dignity to one side and completely disregard the honor and dignity of the other side purely because of Hamas is not fair journalism.
Oh, well, I've never been a fair journalist. I can absolutely guarantee you that. Chandra, thank you. It is the point that Ali has just made, which is let's free the Israeli hostages. Free the hostages held in Israel. Let's get the right way around. And free the hostages held in Gaza. Let's have a hostage swap. Let's end it. Done. Chandra, thank you. Let's get some of the social media in on this. Paul says, it would be crazy, wouldn't it, if President Trump managed to secure peace in the Middle East? All of these people who hate Trump, they'd all have to say maybe they've been wrong all along. Similar theme here from Glenn. Let's hope President Trump's successful in his peace negotiations in Gaza. As for the demonstrations today, it should be postponed out of respect for the people who've been killed on October the 7th. But I say not just them, Glenn. Everyone on all sides who's died since October the 7th. Let's just have a day off. Seriously. Now, come back to this idea that it's extraordinary. Congratulations to the Met. Hugely successful operation disrupting the theft and export of phones, mostly to China. What was it? Tens of thousands. I'm just quickly looking at the briefer. Here we go. 40,000 phones stolen over the past 12 months. 40% of all phones stolen in London during that period in Operation Echo Steep. And I asked, isn't there a way that they could have been disabled? Sam's in Cardiff. Sam, you're sort of working in this field. What do you think could be done? Good morning.
Good morning. I mean, my thoughts initially are that there's some technology available that's generally used by hackers and people in that line of business, where they can actually essentially cause the circuits within the device to fail.
Right.
And why that technology can't be used by the mobile phone companies or something in order to sort of physically disable the device. Because the value in the device is the technology that's inherently in there, and any software on there can be bypassed in order to keep the device or to give a mobile phone a new number, if that makes sense.
So how would that work? So hackers, obviously, they get into places they're not meant to get into, so they find a way through. You reckon the same sort of application could effectively wipe out a phone's propensity to work?
Well, they use it in a threatening way. If you don't do what they want to do or make a payment, they will then disable your device. So if they can do it, there's no reason that it couldn't be done legitimately, I wouldn't have thought.
It's a very good point. I don't know why they're not thinking of that, Sam. The hackers, do we turn to them? Thank you for that. We might return to our conversation concerning those protests, but definitely coming up after the news from the Conservative Party conference, the party leader, Kemi Badenoch. The other side of the 8:45 LBC News headlines, Thomas Watts.
The Education Secretary has told Nick that students should rethink plans for pro-Palestinian demonstrations on today's second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. The Shadow Justice Secretary, Robert Jenrick, will promise to tackle so-called two-tier justice in his speech to the Tory Party conference later. And police have disrupted a gang believed to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many areas, some patchy rain further north, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays on the M23 southbound from the M25 to Junction 9 at Gatwick Airport, and that was after a car broke down earlier. Long delays this morning on the A2 westbound from the Danson interchange to the Kidbrook interchange. It's taking at least half an hour to get through that queue. Very busy in Bromley, Sundridge Avenue's had to be closed at westbound because of an ongoing investigation. On the trains, London Overground's Windrush line is suspended between Wandsworth Road and Clapham Junction, and that's because of a track problem, and Southwestern Railway services at Clapham Junction are also disrupted. Minor delays on the Elizabeth line between Shenfield and Whitechapel, and on the Underground there are minor delays on the Jubilee line because of a shortage of trains.
This is LBC.
Take advantage of the Kia Electric Car Allowance to drive the Kia EV3, this year's UK and World Car of the Year. Or the new EV4, the Times Electric Car of the Year 2025, with a range of up to 388 miles. Get up to £3,750 towards your PCP finance deposit contribution and 3.9% APR representative until the 16th of December. Search the Kia Electric Car Allowance today.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Range based on test conditions and may vary. T's and C's apply. Kia Finance.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
When you're smiling.
Don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
BanningDental.co.uk.
A southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
I've been asked by Shredded Wheat to read out their ingredients list. Drum roll. Whole grain wheat. No, that's it. A single ingredient, high fibre cereal. Shredded Wheat. It simply does it. I'm telling you, that's it. Applies to Shredded Wheat bite size and Big Biscuit only.
Managing your business is a big task. To then stay on top of the numbers as well, you're only human. That's why the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform supports your business growth as the number one recommended cloud accounting software. Intuit QuickBooks. Based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
This is LBC. Message Nick Ferrari on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
It's 11 minutes before 9. Might come back to our conversation about whether those protests should go ahead at various university campuses, but have the pleasure and privilege going to Manchester now to bring into the conversation the leader of the Conservative Party at her conference, of course, Kemi Badenoch. Thanks for coming on, Mrs. Badenoch. Good to have you on. Rather troubling, the poll yesterday that suggested half of Conservative members don't think you should lead the party into the next election. What would you say to them? Why are they wrong? Good morning.
Well, the poll doesn't trouble me at all. A similar poll came out just before the leadership contest result was announced, saying that I was going to lose. These polls are not accurate. I have been at conference speaking to party members, and they have been telling me to keep going. They elected me to do exactly what I'm doing, take time to change the party, turn the policies around, and make it clear what we stand for, not rush out with fly-by-night announcements, and that's what I'm doing.
You want to take time. In a few weeks' time, you will have been in position for 12 months, your first year. The polling for the party's dropped from 26% to 16%. Membership is down from 131,000 to 123,000, and you've lost over 100 councillors. By what metric are you being successful?
The metric of success will be at the next general election. Remember, Nick, oppositions, the last oppositions were 14, 13, 18 years. I've been doing the job 11 months. This conference is where we are showing the direction of travel, a stronger economy, stronger borders, and that we're the only party tough enough and competent enough to deliver both. That doesn't mean that mistakes weren't made. We had a historic defeat last year. It's going to take time to come back from that. But what I am doing is making sure people understand what conservatism is again.
But if this was like football, Mrs. Badenoch, you need to look across to Old Trafford, the Manchester, the manager of Manchester United, Ruben Amorim, who keeps saying, give me time, give me time, and keeps losing matches. You're losing councillors, you're losing support, you're losing members, and you want more time. You are the Ruben Amorim of politics, Mrs. Badenoch.
Well, that is certainly not the case. What we are doing is shedding a lot of the baggage of the last 14 years. I remember last year we had people defecting to Labour because Labour was doing well in the polls. Now we have people defecting to Reform because Reform is doing well in the polls. We need people who are in our party for the right reasons.
Please.
People who are in our party for the right reasons. Reform wants to increase welfare. Reform wants nationalisation. Those are not Conservative policies. We are the only party of fiscal responsibility. And what I do know is that things are going to improve, but we need to build from the right foundations. I'm an engineer. We don't do things in engineering just by talking them out. You make sure you have a plan. You think it through. And it is not yet time for a general election. I'm very sorry that, some people believe that they cannot wait, but I need to do right by my party and, more importantly, by this country by getting it right. And I will not be rushed into making mistakes.
You are the engineer. I'll play the role of the journalist. You were asked on the weekend as regards your plans for deportation. You were asked where the 150,000 people would go, to which you replied, that's the least relevant question. Respectfully, Mrs. Badenoch, it is the relevant question. Where would those people go?
Yes, but I answered the question four times before I said that. They will go back to where they came from. That's what deportation is.
Do you mean France or Syria?
We're just learning how to do.
Do you mean back to France or their original country?
So, So the plan is, you know, the borders is an acronym. The R is for the removals force. The first R is removals force. The second R is returns agreements backed by visa sanctions. That's what we're going to do. Some of them will have to go to France. But as you can see, that one in, one out policy that Labour negotiated is not working. Whenever Labour negotiates, Britain loses. I say this all the time. Leaving the ECHR will make things a lot easier for us. That has been the big barrier to deportations. You remember, Nick, when we were in government, we tried everything. We kept running into trouble with the courts. We need to leave. We've come to this decision very carefully, very considered, and when that happens, it will make deportations easier. But let's not pretend that deporting is not something that this country doesn't know how to do. We were doing it for a very long time until the European Court of Human Rights got out of control and meant that people could stay in our country because they don't have an NHS in their country. That makes no sense. British people should not be paying for illegal immigrants to be in our country. We need to do this.
As a member of the previous Conservative government, how much personal responsibility do you take for the failures on immigration?
Well, I was not in the Home Office, and even when I was a minister and a business secretary, I actually took policies that would cut immigration down because I didn't think it was working. But overall, we have to take collective responsibility. And the collective view is that we did not do well on immigration. I believe that. It was too high. We brought in loads of policies towards the end, 2023, 2024, to bring it down. But some damage was done. Labour is benefiting from the changes we made. We want to go further. I announced policies on ILR earlier in the year. The other parties have copied them badly. Now I'm bringing out our borders plan, which is what we will do after we leave the ECHR to control our borders. We are the only party that can do both. Stronger borders, stronger economy. No other party can do that.
You talk about fiscal responsibility, and we've heard you're going to save more than £40 billion, which would include £8 billion worth of cuts to the civil service. How many jobs would go, Mrs. Badenoch?
There will be quite a lot, but it will also be us stopping doing things. So it's not just, yes.
We said
we're going back to 2016 levels. That's the number. But, you know, 8 billion is a lot. I think that that's pretty obvious. Yeah. The point I'm trying to make is that this is not going to be easy, but it is the right thing to do. And we need to make sure that the government is spending its time on only doing the things that it needs to do, not sticking its fingers in everything and messing things up. Government has grown too big, certainly under Labour, but it did so under us as well. So 2016 levels is where we want to get to.
So what was the level? What was the staffing in 2016? What's the difference in number from 2025 from 2016?
I don't have the figures right in front of me, but we did look at this. The figures have ballooned, and I know that we don't need not just the number of civil servants, but the amount of activity that we're carrying out. I'll get the figures sent to you. I don't have it just off the top of my head. But
okay.
We have spent a lot of time.
But these are people's jobs, of course.
Yes, they are.
So you're laying waste to people's jobs, but you don't know how many, Mrs. Badenoch. It does seem it's a rather bad look, isn't it?
No, it isn't. And let's be very clear, Nick. If a job should not exist, then it isn't really a job. If I pay somebody to break some windows and pay another person to clean them up, I've created two jobs. I have not increased productivity. What we need are productive jobs. And there are actually quite a lot of jobs that we have put into the public sector, which are not actually making our country richer. Public sector productivity has plummeted. It's the private sector that's been carrying everybody. We know we don't need more civil servants than we had in 2016. We need better government, better policies, not more and more civil servants and more politicians. That is not the way to solve the issues. But most of our savings are actually coming from welfare. There are too many people who are not in work. We need to get people into work. That's a double whammy. We're not paying benefits. They're paying more taxes. The economy is growing. And what we have also said is that we're not going to spend all the money that we're finding in savings, because we know Labour's going to be making a hell of a mess. We're the only party that can fix up what they have done, that can clean up that mess. And that means holding some of the savings back.
How would you grade your time as leader so far as it approaches the first 12 months?
As difficult. Every leader of the opposition has a difficult first year. The fact is, I was starting off worried about two things. Could we stay united as a party? I was worried about the party fragmenting. That has not happened, so that has gone well. I was also worried about us going bankrupt. We have outraised all the other parties. In fact, you know, raising more than Labour, Lib Dems and Reform combined in some quarters. I think that has gone very well. I'm not saying that the job is over. We are just starting. The last oppositions have been 14, 13 and 18 years. I've been doing this for 11 months. But I think this conference is showing the direction of travel.
But you seek to run the country. You can't, as my colleague Natasha Clark discovered, you can't even spell Britain correctly on a chocolate bar. Why should my listeners have confidence in the Conservatives?
Of course we can. Of course we can spell Britain.
No, but you misspelled it on the chocolate bar.
Someone made a typo. This is a chocolate...
You're an engineer. You're an engineer. The devil is in the detail. You'll know better than most. To put out a chocolate bar when you can't spell the country.
Yes. Yes, and the chocolate bar was very tasty. Someone somewhere would have missed out a typo. That is not running government. That is having fun at a conference, okay? Let's not pretend that eating chocolate at a conference is running serious policy in government. It's a very fatuous comparison to make. We've been having a really good time. Some people are going to make some spelling mistakes. I probably shouldn't have been singing Sweet Caroline yesterday in the pub. My voice is very croaky. But we are right here, right now, showing that we're the only party that can deliver that stronger economy, that stronger borders. No one else is competent enough and tough enough.
Last minute or so together, your message to people who are planning pro-Palestinian demonstrations at university campuses in much of the country today, Mrs. Badenoch.
You are doing the wrong thing. Today is the anniversary of one of the worst massacres we have seen in our lifetimes. Babies were killed. Women were raped. Young people at a music festival were slaughtered. This does not help Palestinians. This is creating a climate of fear and intimidation for Jews just a few days after we saw two Jewish people slaughtered by anti-Semitic hate. We are a country that has always provided sanctuary to Jewish people, and we must continue to be so. You should not be protesting today.
Robert Jenrick has complained about visiting part of Birmingham where, quotes, he didn't see another white face. That's not the kind of country I want to live in. What would you say to Mr. Jenrick about that, Kemi Badenoch?
So what I have said is that those comments are out of context. All of the things he said beforehand have not been heard. But both Rob and I are worried about integration. We, you know, I am a black woman. He is a white man. We have the same concerns that our country is fragmented, is fragmenting. We have been a successful multiracial country. I want us to continue to be so. That means we need shared values. We need to talk about the things that bring us together. And you look at who is getting elected. We have a lot of sectarianism being elected. We have MPs pro-Gaza, people standing on a pro-Gaza platform and winning. They're not focused on getting the bins picked up in Birmingham. They're focused on what's happening in another country. They're campaigning for an airport in Pakistan. That's not what British MPs should do. We are worried about what is happening in certain parts of our country. We want to bring people together.
Lastly, you mentioned you were singing Sweet Caroline. It's been reported that God Save the King has been axed from the end of the party conference for pop music. Can you confirm or deny that, Mrs. Badenoch?
I don't know where that's come from. We sang God Save the King on Sunday, and this is something that I want us to do. We actually haven't been singing at the end of conferences. We haven't been singing the anthem at conferences. I brought that back. We did it last year in a show of national unity. I brought it back on Sunday. But I don't know where that rumour's come from. It's really weird.
You will be singing after Sweet Caroline, then we can hear you singing the national anthem, Mrs. Badenoch.
Yes. No, we will not. We will not sing Sweet Caroline on Wednesday, but we will sing the national anthem.
Grateful for your time. Thank you. Leader of the Conservative Party joining us from the conference in Manchester, Kemi Badenoch, taking us to... Thank you, Mr. Badenoch. Takes it to 1 minute after nine. Let's get some news headlines on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, the Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, has urged students to think again before joining pro-Palestinian demonstrations later. She has echoed comments from Sir Keir Starmer, who's described marches on the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks as un-British. Memorial events are taking place in Israel this morning. The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, has told Nick that any demonstrations today are wrong.
Today is the anniversary of one of the worst massacres we have seen in our lifetimes. Babies were killed. Women were raped. Young people at a music festival were slaughtered. This does not help Palestinians. This is creating a climate of fear and intimidation for Jews just a few days after we saw two Jewish people slaughtered by anti-Semitic hate.
Kemi Badenoch has defended Robert Jenrick after he was criticised about comments about a visit to Birmingham. The Shadow Justice Secretary was recorded saying he didn't see another white face in Handsworth. The Tory leaders warned the comments are out of context, but also that not enough people are integrating in British life. Police say they've disrupted an international gang thought to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. Some 46 people have been arrested after officers discovered thousands of devices being shipped to China. LBC's reporter Fraser Knight has more.
This early morning raid was one of dozens carried out at the same time in London as the Met worked to dismantle a prolific gang making millions off stolen phones. The 10-month investigation was the biggest linked to phone snatching ever carried out in the UK. Among those detained were two Afghan nationals who were suspected of sending 40,000 devices to China last year. And there were several thieves and robbers thought to have been snatching up to 10 phones a day.
Police are investigating a security breach at an army base in Wiltshire. A wire fence was cut and fuel was stolen from a tanker at Larkhill Royal Artillery Barracks over the weekend. The chemicals giant INEOS has blamed high energy costs and cheap imports from China for 60 job losses at a plant in Hull. It's warned thousands more roles are at risk because across the chemicals industry, unless action is taken. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was up 15 at 94.90. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 15. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many areas. Some patchy rain moving southwards into northern England. A high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watt.
With Virgin Media's lightning fast broadband, go full throttle. That's powerful. Powerful like an elephant cruising on a truck through the bright lights of Bangkok. Plus, switching is easy. We'll handle everything for you. Yeah, that's broadband the Virgin Media way. Visit virginmedia.com. New customers only. Virgin Fibre areas. Restrictions and credit checks apply. No setup fee. Online only. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 5 minutes after nine, Tuesday, October the 7th, coming up in this hour. Robert Jenrick says there's a lack of white faces in inner city Birmingham and he finds it uncomfortable. What is he driving at? Is there something behind his message or is it sheer racism? And we will come back to the idea of these protests. The Prime Minister saying that we should just show humanity and postpone them, supported by some of his senior members of the Cabinet, including Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson, who told me
that whilst you can protest and it's an important cornerstone of our democracy, you don't have to protest, and you don't have to protest today of all days.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
At a dinner at the Aldridge Brownhills Conservative Association in March, after Robert Jenrick had recorded some TV work, he talked about litter in the suburb. Here are some initial comments during that dinner.
You know, I went to Handsworth in Birmingham the other day to do a video on litter. And it was absolutely appalling. It's as close as I've come to a slum in this country. But the other thing that I noticed there was that it was one of the worst integrated places that I've ever been to. In fact, in the hour and a half that I was filming with news there, I didn't see another white face. And that's not the kind of country I want to live in. I want to live in a country where people are properly integrated. It's not about the colour of your skin or your faith. Of course it isn't. But I want people to be living alongside each other, not parallel lives. That's not the right way we want to live as a country.
I can see what he's getting at, but the words are, in the very least, a little clumsy. Now, because we've had the leader of the party, we didn't get to get Mr. Jenrick, but he was on Sky News defending his comments. Here's an exchange he had with the presenter, Kamali Melbourne.
Well, look, I don't resile from those comments. I want to live in a country which is well integrated. I want people to be living side by side. I never want to see segregated or even ghettoised communities. We want people of all skin colours, of all religions, to be living in harmonious, well-integrated communities with our kids growing up alongside each other. And I'm afraid in some parts of the country, there are communities where that just isn't the case. and parts of Handsworth in Birmingham, where I was earlier the year, a place I know quite well growing up in the West Midlands, just don't resemble that. And that makes me very worried. We need to have an honest, open conversation in this country about integration, because it hasn't gone well in recent years. You know, in the last 20 years, there's been at least 6 major reports by governments of all political persuasions about this challenge. And yet enough has not been done to try to tackle it. And so the remarks that you just played were me speaking to people in the West Midlands about my genuine concerns for that and how we can begin to resolve the issue.
It is. Robert Jenrick, you know that that kind of language, I mean, you said you're putting your head above the parapet, but you'll know that that kind of language does give support for groups on the far right that don't want to see brown and black people living
absolutely
in this country.
Not.
You know that, don't you?
I think that's an absolutely disgraceful and ridiculous comment. I tell you what gives rise to extremist views. With all due respect, it's journalists like yourself trying to shut down.
What did I do wrong?
Legitimate,
I'm not shutting you down, Rob, but we've been talking
debate.
About it for at least 5 minutes.
It is, because what you are implying is that you can't say comments like that. And if we live in a country where politicians or members of the public cannot debate whether there is due integration or not, then that does give fuel for extremists. That does give rise to the far right. So you must not take fair and reasonable comments and try and use them to shut down a debate that this country needs to have. We have been having this debate off and on for decades, and every time people try and raise these issues in a fair and reasonable way, with all due respect, journalists like you pop up and try and knock those people down.
So let's just pause for a moment. In the space of 3 days, we've had the Conservative Party leader tell BBC's Laura Koonsberg she's not asking the right question. And we now have the Shadow Justice Secretary, accusing Kamali Melbourne on Sky News of being wrong and inflammatory. It's going well with the Conservatives, isn't it? Everything on message. In the first hour of the show, I spoke with Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson and put his, Mr. Jenrick's, remarks to her.
I think that is a deeply troubling set of remarks. I mean, I haven't heard the wider excerpt of that, but the bits I have seen reported, I think Robert Jenrick has got a lot of explaining to do. Is he, for example, suggesting that somehow the colour of your skin makes you less British than someone else? Is that the implication of what he's saying? I think it would be good if Robert Jenrick could come out and explain exactly what it is he meant when he said that.
And what of party leader Kemi Badenoch?
So what I have said is that those comments are out of context. All of the things he said beforehand have not been heard. But both Rob and I are worried about integration. We, you know, I am a black woman. He is a white man. We have the same concerns that our country is fragmenting. We have been a successful multiracial country. I want us to continue to be so. That means we need shared values. We need to talk about the things that bring us together. And you look at who is getting elected. We have a lot of sectarianism being elected. We have MPs, pro-Gaza, people standing on a pro-Gaza platform and winning. They're not focused on getting the bins picked up in Birmingham. They're focused on what's happening in another country. They're campaigning for an airport in Pakistan. That's not what British MPs should do. We are worried about what is happening in certain parts of our country. We want to bring people together.
So is tough talking, Mr. Jenrick, right or racist? Ravi in Isleworth. Which is it, Ravi? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's definitely not racist. It's a bit hypocritical.
Tell me
if
why.
If you look at the areas, I tell you why. You look at Southall, you look at Soho Road and the Green Street and Melton Road. These are predominantly business roads, which you have, let's say, hundreds of shops which generate millions of pounds in taxes. Of course, you might not see many white people there. But, I mean, it's just beyond ignorance, because many of those areas, and we attract lots of indigenous people to curry houses, to Asian pubs, and to, you know, many kinds of bars there. So it's just not racist, a bit hypocritical, a bit opportunistic, and a bit insulting to the people who actually we serve them.
Ravi, thank you. Dennis in Chelmsford. What's he saying? What do you take from what he's saying? Good morning.
Hey, Nick. I kind of agree with your last caller. I think it's, if it was taken out of context, and the snippet implies that he's unhappy with the situation,
That's not the kind of country I want to live in, is what he says.
Exactly right. But they're the main sort of cause of this situation in Tories. I mean, for 10 years they had control, and we all know about Boris's people, you know, coming over. I can't remember what they call that now. But
they call it the Boris wave.
Exactly right.
They call it. I'm not saying it, but they call it that. Go ahead.
Exactly right. So you know, I agree. It's a little bit hypocritical to be complaining about it now and then expect us all to vote for them.
Thank you, Dennis. Matt in Derby. Matt, what would you say? Good morning.
What would I say? I live around Birmingham, I do, so I am born and bred Birmingham.
Do you know Handsworth, this particular part of Birmingham?
No, I don't live Handsworth. I used to work in Aston, I did. And I used to drive a lot around Perry Bar, which is near to Handsworth. He's not far wrong, to be honest. The way he put it, yes, he could have put it better. It is ghettoised around there. For the people who live around there, like Handsworth Wood is lovely. You go outside of Handsworth, you've got Handsworth Wood.
In what way is it ghetto? Because I'm afraid I'm not familiar with this part of Birmingham. In what way would you say it's ghettoised, Matt?
I lived Sparkbrook. I did it in a hostel for years. I did. And I was never welcomed. I never felt welcomed around the area.
Sorry, you didn't feel welcome because you're a white man, are you? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. I was. I happily lived there, but I never got welcomed into the area. Maybe we're not giving ourselves a chance, but maybe it's our own fault. We kind of like drew ourselves away from those areas because of the influx of certain minorities.
Do you think Britain is getting increasingly ghettoized, to put that word in quotes?
Yes.
You do? What makes you say that, Matt?
Because of the crime, because of how the area is dealt with, you know, with the rubbish. That's down to the council, but they've made it look ghettoised. The no-go areas, there are areas in Birmingham and Manchester and London, all over the country, that are no-go areas.
Hold on, but what's that got to do with skin colour? That's not because of...
No, about being ghettoised, because it pushes the white person out.
But white people commit crime as well.
Oh, yeah, no, completely.
Right.
I completely agree. We're just as bad. It's the same as paedophiles. White person's just as bad.
All right. Matt, thank you. Darren, would Robert Jenrick go to a Cotswold village and say there are not enough black faces? He's whipping up race hysteria. Ian in Windsor. This is funny. Sorry, you shouldn't make me laugh because I've got a cold. Jenrick should be more worried that he probably didn't see another Tory in that hour and a half. That's quite funny. There'll be none of those in Handsworth. 9:15, LBC News headlines. Thomas Watts.
The Education Secretary's told Nick that students should rethink plans for pro-Palestinian demonstrations on today's second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. The Shadow Justice Secretary, Robert Jenrick, will promise to tackle so-called two-tier justice in his speech to the Tory party conference later, and police have disrupted a gang believed to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many areas, some patchy rain further north, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC travel, I'm Joanne. We're very slow on the A2 westbound heading up to the Bean interchange. It was after an accident that happened earlier. All the lanes are open now, but it's still very slow. Also busy in Bromley, Sundridge Avenue is blocked westbound because of an ongoing investigation. On the trains, the Windrush line, which is part of London Overground, remains suspended between Wandsworth Road and Clapham Junction, and also Southwestern Railway services between Clapham Junction and Shepparton are disrupted, and trains are being diverted via Twickenham. Chiltern Railways are delayed by about 15 minutes between Marylebone and Aylesbury Vale Parkway. Minor delays continue on the Elizabeth line, and minor delays on the Jubilee and Piccadilly lines.
This is LBC.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging, or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2024 UK and EU Amazon packaging data.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
Now, focus on your car. That's right. The one you're ready to sell. See it clearly in your mind, waiting to be sold. We can make it disappear. Just watch carefully. Your car sold, collected and paid for in almost no time at all. It's not magic, it's Motorway.
Sell your car today at motorway.co.uk.
Welcome on board this LNER service from London King's Cross to Edinburgh. My name's Paul, your train manager today, and hang on, is that a Scrabble tournament in coach here? Yes, G with an X is a word. Right, we're cruising at 125 miles per hour, same speed this lad next to me is typing. Someone's on a roll! The cafe bar's in coach G if you fancy a brew, or if you're mid-box set binge, just order through the QR code at your seat. We'll deliver it. So sit back and enjoy your journey. With LNER, it's freedom all the way.
So, what's on your to-do list today? Why don't you check if you're eligible for pension credit? It tops up your pension income and also opens up help with heating bills, council tax, and more. Search pension credit on gov.uk or call 0800 99 1234. There's nothing to lose. Check today. Pension credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming to you, Nicholas. You live, I think, close to the area in Birmingham. Just a couple of the other social media posts and texts. Noel, if I'm saying correct, Noel in Milton Keynes. This man hasn't said anything wrong. Why are people creating problems where none exist? I am a black man. I think the country needs more integration for so many foreigners. Thank you for that. This comes in from, you do remember, Jules in Harpenden. Robert Jenrick is not lying. He's saying what he saw and experienced. Nothing racist about his remarks. It is a fact. As a white woman, there are many places I would not go on my own due to feeling threatened. I wouldn't even drive through them. It's a community that would not accept me. Okay, let's go to Birmingham. Nicholas is in Winston Green. Pardon my ignorance. How close is that to this particular part of Harmsworth? Good morning.
Good morning. It's not very far at all. I drive through the area very regularly. It's basically the same area.
Right.
And
so you drive through Handsworth regularly, so you know the area quite well. So tell me what you make of what he said.
Well, first of all, it's a good place if you want to do litter picking. It's full of litter everywhere.
Right.
That's one thing. I'm not even white. I'm a mixed race guy myself.
Right.
Nothing he said is particularly necessarily racist. And I thought Kenny made a very good job. And when I listened to Jenrick's own response to it, it was very good.
Right.
The only thing he might have left out was that if we leave this conversation, if we shy away from it too much, that's where we leave it to the far right and the racist and, you know, to make the most of it.
So what needs to be done? Because you can't necessarily pick up black folk from Handsworth and take them to the Cotswolds, and you can't necessarily pick up white folks from the Cotswolds and take them to Handsworth.
No,
so how is it to be done?
All he was doing was making the observation that we might be, if the area has no white people, or if he hasn't seen a white face in the time he'd been there, that might be an indication that it's segregation. And that's what we don't want. Because we live in a country where a black person can look at the royal family and describe them as hideously white. And there are all sorts of comments about the countryside being racist because it's too white.
Yes.
So if he's making the observation that there are too many black people segregated in one place, why is that necessarily becoming a huge race issue? I think we just pick on this race thing way too much, and it's dividing us. You know, it's a very sensitive and difficult thing, but we should be able to discuss it. Otherwise, we leave the whole game to the racist.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there are ghettos in this country?
Yes. Well, yes, there are areas, and some of it is understandable because immigrants tend to live, you know, but we're doing a poor job of integrating.
Right. Who's doing a poor job of integrating?
We as a nation.
Sorry, who? You know,
Some of it is understandable because there have been great success stories of integration.
Right.
But we're also
what should the nation be doing that it's not doing in this area?
In the area of integration. Well, probably because we're getting too many immigrants coming in too quick. It's happening at the pace is too quick and too fast.
Right.
So if we really want to do a better job, then that's the first thing we should be looking at, and that's what we're trying to address.
Nicholas, thank you from, I think, possibly adjoining part of the city and someone who goes through Handsworth regularly. Thank you. Colin in Morecambe, your take on this. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I think
unless I listen to this completely wrong, I think what Robert Jenrick has said has been completely taken out of context. I'm originally from Kendal, which is obviously near the Lake District, and there's very few ethnics up there. Even now, it's got better over the years, but I mean, I'm 50 now, but certainly when I was 13 at secondary school, you know, to have somebody of an ethnic background in the school was very unusual.
Right.
And what Robert Jenrick is saying is basically what I said all my life, that there's not enough ethnic people in our society, and that's not being a racist comment at all. It's basically trying to be inclusive.
Right.
And anybody who did come into the community was 9 times out of 10 welcome, although in that area there is a bit of a racist, we are in our enclosed environment.
So let's say, so in your view, the message is right, Colin, the delivery was clumsy, that's what we're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think the delivery is a bit clumsy, and obviously we should put on the spot, like most politicians are.
So we're broadly on the same page then, because I can see what he's saying. For a bloke who's normally quite good at speaking, I don't think he's put it in the best way. So let's now drive. How do we put this right? Because you don't want parts of Birmingham or London or Manchester where it is solely white or solely black. It's not healthy for anybody. So how is that to be tackled?
Well, I think, well, I'm going to enter a really horrible subject here, but the way we are at the moment in the country, and certain events have happened recently,
yes,
that's the wrong way about it. That is not an inclusive environment at all. And we should be that way. At the end of the day, a lot of the problems in the world that we have were caused by the British in the first place.
Overseas?
Overseas, all of that. We've caused a lot of problems, and I feel it's our debt to put that right.
Okay. Colin, thank you. Yvonne in Bexley. Yvonne, what do you take from what Robert Jenrick has said? Morning to you.
Nick, I think he made fair comments. I, as a black person, would love to see better integration. I live in Kent, and I love the countryside. I love walking. I love to see wild animals and bees and things like that. But I'm scared to move further out into Kent because I don't know how I'm going to be received. Okay. Because whether we want to acknowledge
slow
it or
down,
not...
Slow down. I think just, I have to ask you this. You are black, then, are you?
I'm black, yeah.
Yeah,
black.
Okay. Well, you hadn't said that, you see. I just wanted to clarify that. No, that's okay. So you're in a London borough now, aren't you? I know Bexley. Well, I was born in Bexley. I know exactly. I know Bexley probably as well as, if not better than you do. I grew up there, part of it.
Where do you think
you couldn't go?
I couldn't go to the Cotswolds. I don't think I'd be welcome, particularly. I don't think I would be welcome if I went to Cornwall. I think that people want to have places where they only see themselves, and I think that we do need to talk about it because we have this concentration of immigration because maybe people do want to move further away. But one of the things that I have always had to consider is how will my family be received? And to be absolutely honest, when we moved to Bexley, we did have quite a number of racist incidents.
Targeted
at myself and my children.
Did you move to Bexley from, Yvonne?
We were in Forest Gate. Yeah, and we moved to Bexley Heath, and my daughter, we had a little celebration for my birthday, and my daughter's friends are all integrated, and they came up for this celebration, and the first their welcome was the N-word being shouted at them from a car, and they said, "Why did you move here?" Because they've got friends from everywhere. We've got friends. Yeah. I've encouraged my kids to make friends because of who the person is, not because of what they look like.
Okay.
So I think that we do need to have a conversation, and we do need to be real.
So are you in Bexley or Bexley Heath, Yvonne?
I'm in Bexley Heath.
Right. But I see a lot of non-white faces in Bexley Heath now, Yvonne.
I know. I mean, it's more integrated now.
Okay.
And it's more integrated now, but I'm talking about the fact that we do need to have these serious conversations. We do need to be realistic. It's not about trying to demonize anyone. It's just about we have these concentrations of people in our urban areas. Maybe if people felt more welcome to move to places further out, then we wouldn't have these concentrations. And then, you know, it does make certain areas look predominantly one culture.
Yvonne, look after yourself and Betsy Heath. Be well and look after the family. I'm sorry you endured that. That's appalling. Although I would say when I drive through there, there does seem to be a healthy mix of faces. Let's go to... thank you, Yvonne. Raj is in Handsworth. Right, sir, you are my Handsworth reporter. How will this news go down, do you imagine, when you go walking down the Handsworth High Street, if there is such a place? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Morning. I wouldn't go walking down any high street or any roads in Handsworth anymore these days. So I'm a British Sikh man. My mum and dad came here in the 60s, integrated, worked hard, worked all their lives, had children, me and my siblings. And we've all got jobs and working all our lives, working hard. Handsworth used to be a place of diversity.
Uh-huh.
It no longer is. It's quite poor. It's just stuck to kind of certain minorities.
And when terrible. Did this happen? How long ago would you say? Obviously, it doesn't change overnight, but when did this change start, do you imagine?
Over the last 5 to 10 years, it's been going on. It's not safe. Handsworth is notoriously known for gang-related...
Oh, is it? Is it?
Yeah,
right, okay.
Many years ago. And now, the main road in Handsworth is Soho Road. If you drive down the Soho Road and any time of the day, it should be two lanes going one way, two lanes going the other way.
Right.
The roads are completely blocked because just men parked up on the side of the road drinking, smoking... outside of the barber shops, the 50 barber shops, the 50 kebab shops along the road.
Sorry, don't the police move them on?
No, they don't. The police will drive by on Soho Road and ignore this and continue on. And I think it's because they're scared. And he's not wrong, Robert. He's wrong about a lot of stuff, but he's actually not wrong about this. And I'm Indian, I'm Sikh.
Would you... consider moving out of the area then, Raj?
Well, our family have made their lives here. Our parents are elderly.
By the way, I'm not suggesting you should. I'm just asking whether you would consider it.
Our parents are elderly. It's all they know, Handsworth. And the caller earlier said Handsworth Wood, which is right. It's a little neighbourhood just off Handsworth, which is where communities are kind of moving towards, because Handsworth is just being kind of infiltrated by individuals who don't integrate. They're driving along the roads crazy, blasting music all day. They're drinking, they're speeding.
All right.
They're not wrong.
All right. So I have to go. Raj, thank you, particularly as you speak from the area and the history with your family having grown up in the area because your family moved there. Raj, thank you. We will continue with this conversation. We'll also return to the fact that there are protests planned today, pro-Palestinian demonstrations on October the 7th. And a number of senior politicians saying that just today, could they not perhaps show a period of reflection? That has been echoed now by Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch, who told me in the previous hour...
This does not help Palestinians. This is creating a climate of fear and intimidation for Jews just a few days after we saw two Jewish people slaughtered by anti-Semitic hate.
We'll return to that. It's 9:30. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. The news is read by Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister has urged students to think again before joining pro-Palestinian protests later. Sir Keir Starmer says it is un-British for the demos to take place on the second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks in Israel. Police believe they have dismantled a criminal gang behind up to 40% of all phone thefts in London. Detectives say the network is thought to have smuggled up to 40,000 stolen phones to China over the last year. A major security breach at an army base in Wiltshire is being investigated by police. A wire fence was cut and fuel was stolen from a tanker at the Larkhill Barracks over the weekend. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many places. Patchy rain moving southwards into northern England. A high of 18 degrees.
This is LBC.
When BP asked me to read the voiceover for their new Wild Bean Cafe ad, I thought I knew what to expect. But when they told me I'd be reading the script next to a mountain waterfall, on horseback, strumming a harp, in a hailstorm, naked, ow, 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 ow. Well, that was wildly unexpected. Just like Wild Bean Cafe having a freshly ground signature espresso blend for everything from Americanos to flat whites in a fuel station. Wowzers. Wild Bean Cafe. Only at BP. Subject to availability at selected BP stores only.
When they're away at uni and the show you all love is on telly. When you're miles apart but still laughing at the same joke. When the emojis come thick and fast.
Ah, triple smiley face and a heart.
I knew they'd love that.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. Make sure your child has a TV license when they go to uni, so they're covered to watch all TV channels and you can still enjoy all those TV moments in the family group chat.
Take advantage of the Kia Electric Car Allowance to drive the Kia EV3, this year's UK and World Car of the Year. Or the new EV4, the Times Electric Car of the Year 2025, with a range of up to 388 miles. Get up to £3,750 towards your PCP finance deposit contribution and 3.9% APR representative until the 16th of December. Search the Kia Electric Car Allowance today.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Range based on test conditions and may vary. T's and C's apply. Kia Finance.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Two senior politicians in the news then. Robert Jenrick, and we'll return to that for his probably on tune message about a visit he took to Birmingham in March, but the wording is pretty clumsy. And the Prime Minister and others suggesting this day of protest and her campuses up and down the country, then the I newspaper, I'll give you the list, by the way, the I has done quite a good job on this, they should not proceed. Well, that was the Prime Minister yesterday. In the first hour of the show, I spoke with the Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, and she had this message for those planning to protest.
I would say to anybody thinking about protesting today, 2 years on from the appalling events, the atrocities that we saw on October the 7th, I would urge them to pause, to reflect, to remember our shared humanity, our responsibilities towards one another, and how many Jewish people in our country will be feeling today, not least given the terrorist attack in Manchester, that whilst you can protest, and it's an important cornerstone of our democracy, you don't have to protest, and you don't have to protest today of all days.
And what is the view of Conservative Party leader Kemi Badenoch?
You are doing the wrong thing. Today is the anniversary of one of the worst massacres we have seen in our lifetimes. Babies were killed. Women were raped. Young people at a music festival were slaughtered. This does not help Palestinians. This is creating a climate of fear and intimidation for Jews just a few days after we saw two Jewish people slaughtered by anti-Semitic hate. We are a country that has always provided sanctuary to Jewish people, and we must continue to be so. You should not be protesting today.
And we talked about that earlier in the show. Here's a little of what you told me, starting with Malcolm in Wigan.
It's a very patriotic thing to demonstrate to oppose genocide. And I would also argue that by keeping the pressure on, that is encouraging decision makers like President Trump to do their best to try to end the genocide that's happening in Gaza today. The way that you show respect for those who've lost their lives is by preventing the ongoing genocide.
Kate is in Watford.
100% they should pause today. It's disgusting. I mean, the equivalent would be on an anniversary of the 7th of July bombings in London or 9/11, frankly, in America, you'd be allowing people to celebrate Al-Qaeda. Nothing happened. You know, this day, 2 years ago, Israel was still trying to get back its people. It was trying to fight the terrorists up until the next day. The war did not begin. Israel didn't start going into Gaza for 20 days. What happened on this day was 14-year-old, 12-year-old girls raped and murdered, and let us have this day. I mean, it's just despicable. I think the fact is that it's just a real blight, not just, you know, disrespecting the Jewish community and the people that lost their lives that day, but also our society.
Abby's in Kingston.
Humanity doesn't include just the UK. I think it includes the world events. And we've got a massive genocide going on in Gaza, where every day now Netanyahu's upped his game and killing hundreds of citizens, including children. So if we are a shared humanity, then that includes protesting against that every day, and everyone should have a right to do that. We're representing the Palestinian citizens, so we don't have a responsibility to answer for Hamas.
So the rallies are planned at university campuses, despite appeals from, as you've heard, government ministers, prime minister and other ministers, and some Jewish student groups who've also asked for it. The protests were advertised on social media yesterday by student groups. Rallies are planned on the campuses of the universities of Sheffield, Strathclyde, Edinburgh, King's College London and Queen Mary University of London. Students are also planning a rally close to University of Bristol buildings. There will be mass walkouts from lectures across 11 institutions across London, at Goldsmiths, Kingston, City, Roehampton, the Open University, the LSE, University College London, KCL University, University of the Arts London, my apologies, and the Imperial and SOAS. So there's a lot of unhappy people. Stuart in Lancaster. Can't they take the day off, Stuart? Morning.
No. Well, Israel hasn't. So, there's reports.
They haven't taken a day off from keeping the hostages either, of course.
No. Well, Israel hasn't either. No. I mean, obviously, they've got plenty of hostages as well. My point is, though, is that they've actually intensified raids on refugee camps in the West Bank.
I wonder if they're forced to dig their own graves, as Hamas makes them do.
I have no idea. But what I'm suggesting...
I wonder how often we'll hear the chant, "Free the hostages," Stuart. How often do you think that we might hear that today at these raids?
Well, that's not my point. My point is that I do not agree with any aspects of this war, okay? Right. And it's not people, it's not the people that are actually protesting, obviously the students today, they are not protesting in support of Hamas. They are not protesting you will obviously have elements of that, and I get that, and that is wrong. I do not agree with, obviously, supporting Hamas.
But Stuart,
what I do agree with is the fact that people are protesting against the continued assault of innocent lives that are obviously in the West Bank. They've hit a hospital today. A kid's been killed in Khan Yunis today. So,
if we keep events in the UK, and you have Jewish student groups saying, "Please don't demonstrate today, just today," why should they be ignored?
I'm not saying that they should be ignored.
No.
I'm saying that basically there is a right to protest in this country. Why is Israel continuing their assault today?
Stuart, don't go. Let's bring someone else into the conversation. Georgina's in Manchester. What would you say to Stuart? Good morning.
Hi. He didn't once mention October the 7th. He didn't once mention what happened in Manchester. People in Manchester, I'm actually Jewish and I'm from Manchester, and we are actually really traumatised by what's been happening. And we feel like, people have the right to protest, but today, just not today. Like, what could happen is you've got Jewish students that are really emotional, really worked up, and you've got this going on, and it's just adding fuel to the fire. And I'm worried. I feel like anti-Semitism is taking another step for us, because it's not just words anymore. It's how long before someone takes a knife at school and is so wound up that they go and stab someone. That's what I'm really worried about.
Well, let's put that to Stuart. Stuart, what do you say to Georgina?
I will say this. When it comes to anti-Semitism, it is being weaponized. I'm really fan of history, and I have seen the most atrocious documentaries that actually go back to the concentration camps, and when obviously they were the concentration camps were actually liberated. That should never ever happen again, and it is absolutely disgusting what actually happened back then. I do not consider what is actually happening today as being anti-Semitism.
How is that attack on the synagogue last week not a Semitic event?
I have, as far as the attack on the synagogue last week, nobody's saying that that is justified. I'm not saying that that is.
No, I'm not saying that, but that was caused by Semitism. Come on, Stuart.
Anti-Semitism. Yeah, absolutely. There's an element of it.
I don't understand. You're arguing against yourself.
How am I arguing against myself?
Because you said these aren't being driven by anti-Semitism, and now you're saying it was driven by anti-Semitism.
No, I am saying that anti-Semitism is being weaponized, in that if you criticize Israel, Netanyahu's basic first line is, if you criticize Israel, you are being anti-Semitic.
How do you know that those two people that were murdered were pro-Israeli or not pro-Israeli? They were Jewish. They were going to synagogue on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. My husband, who was in synagogue, said to me that they were all fearful that this was a coordinated attack. It happened 10 minutes down the road from where I live. That they were worried it was a coordinated attack, which probably felt a little bit similar to how it would have felt with the brown shirts going in and trying to kill people in synagogue in Germany, right?
So what's the point you want to make to Stuart out of that, Georgina?
I want to say that it was completely and utterly anti-Semitic, that the Jews were killed. Two Jews were killed. It was an intent to kill even more Jews. If they'd have gone in later, which is when people tend to go to synagogue, more people go to synagogue, he would have killed even more people.
Well, let's get Stuart back on that, Stuart.
Right. I've called up about basically whether or not these protests should go ahead today or not.
And Georgina's saying they shouldn't. That's why I'm having the two of you talk to each other.
So she's saying that they shouldn't, because we were talking about today is October the 7th, which is an anniversary of an atrocious attack two years ago by Hamas.
And what happened this week as well, where everybody, Jewish people, are feeling very, very emotional. It is also because of October the 7th, but also...
fueled by what happened yesterday.
Right. My point is, the point about the protest is that does Israel relent in its actual attack on innocent people? No, it doesn't. So why should people not protest?
Georgina?
Why should people not protest? I'm not saying that they shouldn't protest.
I think all Georgina's saying is just take today off, because there
are students... Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There are students, there are Jewish students at some of these universities... Please let me finish. I think, Georgina, there are Jewish students, and indeed there are Jewish student groups saying, please, not today. That's what...
Right. Has Israel taken the day off today? No.
Well, if they... It is a war going on. It's a war. You know, at the end...
People protest against the war.
Have Hamas released any of the hostages? Have they been perhaps allowed to stop digging their graves? No.
Oh, ridiculous.
This
right.
This would have ended.
No.
This right. would have ended okay. a long... This would have...
Georgina?
Sorry, what was the question?
Georgina,
I'm sorry.
You said this would have ended...
If they'd have given the hostages back. Nobody says anything about the hostages. Nobody. You know, at these marches, like you just said before, you know, at these marches, who's saying... give the hostages back. It almost feels like no one even knows, like, is even aware of what happened on October the 7th.
Well, that's what brought this conversation in. My thanks to both Stuart, thank you, sir, and Georgina, thank you for your views. And it is, of course, because of October the 7th that we have the Prime Minister and others saying what they are saying towards these student groups. And I do think all parties just need to pause and think, put yourself in the mind of an 18-year-old Jewish man, young man or young woman, first year at university... What, probably only arrived last month, just getting to know the place, you're Jewish, you might be from Manchester, and that there are only around 300,000 Jewish people in the entire country, so that's roughly the population of a London borough, for goodness sake. So there's possibly they know, or they have friends who know the victims, the people who've lost their lives. The student group says, can you, look, we know you feel strongly about Palestine, get it. Just today, take the day off, and they refuse. Colin in Louth. Colin, you've been holding on the line. Thank you. What do you want to say? Good morning.
Thanks, Nick. Your last caller, Stuart, talking total rubbish.
He's got a few. Tell me why you think he's wrong.
In my opinion, these protests are built purely on anti-Semitism, and it's fueled also by certain members of the Labour Party. The Labour Party under Corbyn, correct me if I'm wrong, were found guilty of...
They were, yes, the first time ever in Labour's long history, yes, unfortunately.
And some of those people are still there. There's still anti-Semitism within their ranks. It's ridiculous that the Jewish community require 24/7 security. It's unbelievable, terrible. Now, why don't we ever see protests against... atrocities carried out by like the Houthis or the Iranian regime or the Uyghurs in China. We never hear...
Well, why do you suppose that is, Colin? I know I've got a theory. What's your theory?
Because people's focus is anti-Semitism. That's their pure focus. It's malice. It's hatred. Jewish people are afraid to walk into major cities. They can't openly display their religion out of fear of being attacked. It's unbelievable.
Colin, thank you. We'll return to this, and we might try and pick up as well on the conversation we were having about Robert Jenrick's views on a certain part of Birmingham. But it's 9:45 now, LBC News headlines, then to be read by Thomas Watts.
The Prime Minister has condemned pro-Palestinian protests planned on today's second anniversary of the October the 7th attacks. The Metropolitan Police says it has disrupted a gang thought to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. And the Conservatives are to set out plans to scrap the Sentencing Council under a future Tory government. LBC weather, cloudy but dry for many areas, a bit wetter in the north, a high of 18 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webster. Lots of problems on the trains this morning. Firstly, Chiltern Rail, they're disrupted between Marylebone and Aylesbury Vale Parkway after a signal failure. Southwestern Railway services are disrupted between Clapham Junction and Shepperton. Some of the services are having to go via Twickenham. And also the Windrush line remains suspended between Wandsworth Road and Clapham Junction after a track problem. On the Underground, there are now severe delays on the Piccadilly line and minor delays on the Jubilee line. On the roads, very busy in Battersea Park on the Queenstown Road in both directions. That's because of the ongoing works. In Bromley, Sundridge Avenue is closed westbound because of an ongoing investigation, and only one Woolwich ferry is able to run because of an ongoing technical problem.
LBC's Make Some Noise.
This Friday is Make Some Noise Day, LBC's charity fundraiser helping brilliant projects right across the UK. And you can get involved with an exciting prize as you and a guest could be exclusively joining us behind the scenes at LBC. Start the day with a coffee and a Q&A with me, Nick Ferrari. Then grab your spot in the studio to watch James O'Brien in action and you'll meet him too. You'll get a private tour of the studios at Global from LBC to Heart, Capital and the Newsagents podcast before you catch up with Sheila Fogarty and hear about how she puts her show together. Then it's off for afternoon tea at the Soho House Hotel and you'll get two tickets to see James O'Brien's Full Disclosure live in London on the 19th of February. To enter this competition, text the word studio to 84850. That's studio to 84850. By entering, you'll have the chance to make a voluntary £10 donation, which will be added to your phone bill. 100% goes to LBC's charity Make Some Noise. You've got until 4 p.m. on Friday the 10th of October to enter. Standard network rates apply. You must be 18 or over to enter. For full T's and C's, including prize date restrictions, visit lbc.co.uk. Good luck! Make sure you stay with LBC this Friday for Make Some Noise Day and more ways to help our fantastic charity.
Coming up at 10, James O'Brien, leading Britain's conversation. Next on LBC.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £14 million.
I think that deserves a whoop whoop. Whoop whoop! Thank you, far away person. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
The Monopoly game at McDonald's is back. And with a one in four chance to win instantly on pack, you could get your hands on a £2,000 Jet 2 holiday, a Big Mac, Merlin annual passes for four, and even more epic prizes. Go on, it's your go. 18 plus, UK, ends 21st of October. Selected menu items, subject to availability. App may be required. See mcdrules.co.uk.
Listeners, we interrupt the airways to share an incredible discovery. The reason why Britain hasn't been so great of late is because the country hasn't been eating enough Weetabix. We must get to work in rebuilding Great Britain, Bix by Bix. By delivering Weetabix to whoever plans the traffic diversions, to delivery drivers who can't seem to find your house, and people who don't stack the dishwasher properly. To Britain, we must say, have you had your Weetabix?
At TfL, we're making tube journeys faster in the future, with signalling improvements underway on the Circle, District, Hammersmith and City and Metropolitan lines. And there's also the Elizabeth line, already giving you fast journeys across central London. That is how we're making the greener way to travel brighter for everyone. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Elizabeth Line is fast compared to other TfL modes. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
Would anyone like some Bourneville dark chocolate?
Is it so dark the aftertaste lasts for a week?
No.
Does it taste really, really complicated?
What? Is it saturated in nibs?
So dark it comes with a therapist.
To the uneducated palate, does it taste like burnt tyre?
Would scientists compare the taste to dark matter?
Is it artisanal, in all caps?
Are the tasting notes gloom?
No, no pretentiousness, no complexity, no bitterness. Just smooth dark chocolate from Cadbury. Cadbury Bourneville, made to be enjoyed, not endured.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
I've just looked at my mobile phone. Now, if you're wondering, why the hell is he telling us that? And up pops a message from Kemi Badenoch. So, around an hour or so ago, we were talking about how she said the party was one of fiscal responsibility and how much money they would save by cutting the civil servants. They'd save £8 billion. And I said, well, how many jobs is that? And she didn't have the number. She said, I'll get back to you. In fairness, at 9:19, so more than half an hour ago, I won't read it all, but anyway, we will reduce the size of the civil service back to 2016 levels. This would see headcount falling by a quarter, down from 516,000 to 384,000. A cut of a quarter would save £8 billion. So I share that with you just to say that it has happened before, but very rarely does a politician WhatsApp or text me. Well, I can't remember so rapidly ever, actually, in all honesty. Sometimes that day in the afternoon, something will pop up. Oh, the numbers I meant to give you, Nick, were X, Y, Z or whatever. So, A, she did deliver, and B, one has to say, within 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes. So, take from that what you choose. We've got two conversations running at the moment.
One of which is about the day of protest, which many people are saying should be halted, or postponed for today, I should say. Mal says, as a UK cameraman over the past 2 years covering the war, my big question is why on this particular day, as well as peace looking closer, with these protests have all been about? Is this pro-Palestinian or pure anti-Jew hatred? And on the subject of what exactly is going on in Handsworth in Birmingham, Melanie says, I live in Handsworth. If you had to choose an example of how multiculturalism has worked, you would choose here. Let's talk about Jenrick's views. Alan in Ilford. Alan, what do you take from what he said? Good morning. Sorry, good morning.
Hi, Nick. Good morning, sir. To you, sir.
What are you going to tell me?
Well, I don't think... I live in Ilford, and it's very much a multicultural area, yeah? And by and large, people rub along quite well.
Good.
I think what Jenrick is saying is it doesn't say anything about the ghettoisation of the country and the mess the country in. It says more about the ghettoisation of the Tory party and the mess the Tory party are in.
Oh, that's interesting. Expand on that if you would, sir.
Well, what do you think Margaret Thatcher would be saying to him at this moment in time?
Giving him the rounds of the kitchen, as they say up north. reading him the riot act, I would suggest.
Well, and you look at people like Ted Heath and Macmillan. Look what happened to Enoch Powell when he started spouting off.
Yes.
He was down the road so quickly, his feet didn't touch the ground, did they?
No, that was the end of... Well, he carried on as an MP for another party, but no, that was the end of any chance he had of leading the Conservative Party. That was he was
and,
done for.
And that was when the Tory party had a conscience and were on the right path.
Right.
Now, since Brexit, which hasn't gone well, and it continues not to go well, they kicked out all the Remainers. Is that right?
I'm just trying to quickly go through the front bench. I'm trying to think of one of them. Yeah,
really,
go ahead.
Kick them all out?
Yeah.
What would Michael Heseltine stand on all this? It just doesn't... The mess the Tory party are in, they really need to sort themselves out.
Well, I think that they would say that's what this conference is all about.
But they don't seem to be doing it very well, do they?
Well, we've yet to hear from the leader's speech. I mean, what I would say, what you can see with your own eyes, is attendance is not good. When the shadow chancellor speaks to a room that's, well, half empty, half full, whichever you prefer, that is not a good look.
No, it's... Look,
can I ask you something you don't have to say? Is there anything that Mrs. Badenoch could say tomorrow that would attract you to at least look at the Conservative Party, or are you just dead set against them, lastly, Alan?
Well, I've got to be honest, I've always voted Labour, so
okay,
she'd have
yeah.
to say... But if I were to look at the Conservative Party and say... Because, there have been decent Conservative governments and decent Conservatives. I think that she'd say, we're a multiracial country.
Yes.
It's diversity. Okay, there are difficulties from time to time.
Of course.
But by and large, we're rubbing along quite well.
As you say, you are in Ilford. Good luck to you, sir. Thank you. Please excuse me moving. I've got to get a little further out into Essex and Colchester. Joe, standing by. Joe, your view. Good morning.
Hiya, yeah. I just want somebody to let Mr. Jenrick know, and some of the other Conservative politicians that he rubs along with, that it's not their job to just observe things on the streets. It's their job to look at data. It's their job to talk to the communities, all communities, and it's their job to find solutions for problems. So if you're
saying... Well, they have to identify the problem first, don't they? No?
Well, yeah, but there's no good just identifying the problem unless you talk about possible solutions for it, or you at least open a conversation that you're looking for solutions for it.
Right.
It just to point out the problem is just creating inflammatory, inflaming opinions across the nation.
And is it a problem?
If you want to do
what he claims to have identified as a problem, do you agree that it is a problem?
I don't think it's as much of a problem as he would like to suggest. But there is a conversation to be had. There is a sensible conversation to be had about integration. The question is, the assumption is that the reason integration is bad is all the fault of the people that are, you know, that are from other cultures, have come from other countries. It's all their fault the integration hasn't worked properly. Well, that's not true. And if you look if you're saying that there is a problem with integration, then you've got to have a look at the way that we are integrating people into our society and what is the responsibility of the communities that are already here. And what is the responsibility of the people that are coming here? And what is the responsibility of the governments and the structures around setting up integration? Part of the big problem is housing. You don't you don't have much social housing now. We used to have, you know, mass social housing, which means that you could, when you're putting a family that's come from another country into a home, you can choose that they go and live next door to a Muslim family, could live next door to a Jewish family.
And wouldn't that be fantastic when we can really achieve that? Joe, I have to finish because I want to give a minute and a bit. Thank you, Joe. Let's go to Birmingham. And Bobby, part of the city then portrayed in this fashion. What would you say to Robert Jenrick? Bobby.
Hi, Nick. Yes, I've lived in and around Handsworth and Birmingham for most of my life. My parents, my mum, my brother, they've had businesses on Soho Road in Handsworth.
Yeah.
I think it's a misrepresentation of the place, you know.
What is the true picture then?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a very rich culture of different kinds of shops, food, eateries, cafes, you know. And there is a melting pot of cultures there. We've had a lot of migration.
Well, it's not a melting pot. I mean, Mr. Jenrick says it's effectively solely black.
No, that's not true.
But that's what he says. I don't know. I'm not living there. That's what I'm asking. That's why I'm asking you.
No, I disagree. I mean, there is a black Afro-Caribbean population, but there's lots of Indians, Afghans, Kurdish.
But are there white people there, Bobby?
There's a minority of white people, right. I would say, on the streets. That's true. But the idea that you didn't see a white face, I think that's just... I think that's silly for him to say that. I don't know where he was standing.
Well...
There are white people there.
Okay. Bobby, that's what I was trying to get at, whether when he sees that there's no white faces, the reality is someone, as you know, you lived in and around the area. I'm done for another day. Apologies, Suzanne, Dan, Jessica and others. I'm done. But James O'Brien keeps the talking going. The other side of the news. And I'll be back. Please, God. Tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Another cheery note to end the programme on. I join you in that prayer. It is coming up to 10 o'clock. Thank you, Nick. You are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. And it is, as you will almost certainly be aware, the second anniversary of the worst mass murder of Jewish people since the Holocaust. That's not hyperbole or exaggeration, or indeed surplus to requirements in our memories this morning. Because it is also the date that for many people, well, I don't know, that might be my first question. For some people in this country, particularly today, people on university campuses, it is also the date upon which a process that ended in genocide began. But shouldn't they at least take today off from protesting?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, memorial events are taking place in Israel to mark the second anniversary of the October the 7th attack. Sir Keir Starmer has urged students here to think again before taking part in pro-Palestinian demonstrations planned in several cities. The Prime Minister says it is un-British to have so little respect for the Jewish community. The Education Secretary, Bridget Phillipson, has echoed his remarks, speaking to LBC this morning.
I would say to anybody thinking about protesting today, 2 years on from the appalling events, the atrocities that we saw on October the 7th, I would urge them to pause, to reflect, to remember our shared humanity, our responsibilities towards one another, and how many Jewish people in our country will be feeling today, not least given the terrorist attack in Manchester.
The Conservative leader, Kemi Badenoch, has rejected claims of racism made against Robert Jenrick. The Shadow Justice Secretary has doubled down on comments about a visit he made to Handsworth in Birmingham.
It was absolutely appalling. It's as close as I've come to a slum in this country. But the other thing that I noticed there was that it was one of the worst integrated places that I've ever been to. In fact, in the hour and a half that I was filming with news there, I didn't see another white face. And that's not the kind of country I want to live in.
The recording obtained by The Guardian was made at a dinner earlier this year. Mr. Jenrick will promise to tackle so-called two-tier justice in his speech to the Conservative Party conference in Manchester later. Police have disrupted a gang believed to be behind 40% of phone thefts in London. It's suspected of smuggling up to 40,000 stolen phones from the UK to China over the past 12 months. 46 people have been arrested. Teachers who train in subjects including physics, chemistry and maths are to be given tax-free bursaries. The payments of up to £31,000 are part of efforts to tackle shortages in some areas. Trainees will also be able to access £15,000 to specialise in special educational needs and disabilities. And Jaguar Land Rover will restart manufacturing at its sites in the West Midlands and on Merseyside tomorrow. It's also announced a new financing scheme to support suppliers after the month-long disruption from a cyber attack. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading up 9 at 94.88. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 15. LBC weather, cloudy but most places staying dry. Patchy rain further north. A high of 18 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible, and make a claim with HMRC for free, online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC, from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after 10, and you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I've got two questions for you this morning. One is going to be about quantity, and one is going to be about quality, the quality of judgment, if you like. One is going to be about numbers, and one is going to be about appropriateness. There are student protests planned today against the actions of the Israeli government and the Israeli army in Gaza. If you find yourself thinking, why are we talking about this again, I would very, very briefly remind you that it's October the 7th. So I accept that query and that criticism on other days, not in the immediate aftermath of a terrorist attack upon a synagogue. And obviously, as the genocide continues, we can't focus upon that every single day. But to me, this date is deeply significant, and I presume that's true of everybody. And Sir Keir Starmer has described protests planned to mark this anniversary with an outpouring of sympathy and solidarity with the Palestinian people as un-British. The protests that we're talking about, and this I think is really key, and I may need a little bit of help in the unlikely event. Well, actually, do you know, I've been doing this job so long that I think we've moved now from me being able to say without any fear of criticism or pushback, well, I'd be amazed if any students are up yet, to actually recognising that in the modern world, the students' relationship with their educational institution, given how much debt they're going to come out with at the end of their studies, is very, 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 very different from what it was like. Oh no, here it comes. In my day. it isn't true anymore that everybody is getting stoned in the snooker room and staying in bed until Countdown comes on. I don't believe. So hopefully people are listening. I was in Oxford on Saturday night with quite a lot of students in the crowd, and some of them are very kind about how much they enjoyed this programme. So I probably have some listeners among the student body of this country. And what they can help us with is what these protests are, because I don't know, and I'm sorry that I don't know, but I don't. More than a dozen protests, I read this morning, will be held at universities to mark the anniversary. So even the word protest seems odd in this context until you remember that they will be events designed to focus upon the aftermath of the October the 7th attack rather than the attack itself. And I'm conscious that this could turn into the phone-in that we had last week about whether or not people should have taken Saturday off from protesting about what's going on in Gaza because of the proximity, the chronological proximity, and of course in Manchester, the geographical proximity to the terror attack on the synagogue. I'm going to read you a couple of early messages coming in, just in case you wonder why I sometimes sound, what would the word be, a little discombobulated by the conversation that I'm conducting with you. Because it's extraordinary how unpleasant people can be. This is from Simon already. He's listened to the same introduction to the programme that you've listened to. An outlying of the position that I'm going to take quite a lot of persuading that it wouldn't be wiser just to let today be about remembering the victims of what I described as the biggest mass murder of Jews since the Holocaust. Simon's been in touch to say, you are vile, O'Brien, talking about a genocide on this day. You have no shame at all. So this is, and Simon, I suspect, doesn't realise this, this is part of the problem that we're examining today. Because the allegations of vileness or anti-Semitism for mourning, if you like, mass murder, shouldn't change according to who's done it. So you're going to call someone anti-Semitic for criticizing the actions of Israel, then I wonder how many young minds respond by going, crikey, am I? And that's how these marches end up and these protests end up being polluted, that's my word, by people who are obviously expressing anti-Semitic views and conflating all Jewish people with the actions of the Israeli army and the Israeli administration. So the minute, Simon, you reach for that kind of insult and that kind of obnoxiousness, I think a less robust mind than mine, a less sturdy heart than mine, could respond by thinking, well, okay, I have got a problem with everybody of a certain ethnicity or so, because you keep treating me as if I do, but I categorically don't. It's extraordinary how quickly we divide on this, and that's why I, in my slightly pompous way, think that we have to keep talking about it. So, with respect, James, says Helen, there you go, Simon, that's how you do it. With respect, James, shouldn't we stop talking about the protests and focus on October the 7th and what happened? You are doing the same as the protesters. And Mark responds immediately with, morning, James. I say, yes, they shouldn't protest today as long as the Israelis don't bomb Gaza today. And listen, it may not be a valid explanation for Helen, but I'm talking about it partly because this is the position that our Prime Minister has chosen to adopt on this morning. One of the positions that our Prime Minister has chosen to adopt on this morning. He's also described protests as un-British. Protests today as un-British. And I don't know how you ever, I don't know how we ever build this bridge. I don't think we can build